This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 7 o'clock, straight up on a Tuesday night. It is Studio C. You are live with all of us. Well, most all of us. It's Katie June, Al Perkins, and our special guest this week, it's Richard Stevens.
Hello!
Also known as Barbara Seville, for those of you locally here in the Phoenix metropolitan area.
Or people outside that may not know you from the Phoenix area.
There's people who know you around the world, Barbara. Aren't you international?
I have warrants. International warrants.
Well known around the world.
Good to know. Well, we'll have a special segment tonight on
international warrants.
Does the term extradition mean anything to you?
No. Thankfully, no.
Not yet.
I am pleased to announce, no.
Marnie Ryer is out this evening. Actually, I'll be very honest. Marnie is at the Dolly Parton concert here in Central Phoenix, and I forgot.
She stumbled out of bed and
went to the kitchen, poured herself a cup of ambition. I doubt she yawned or stretched, and she probably didn't get there on time.
No. That's it was more like 10:30 to 5-ish.
We're going to have a special locker for that hat.
I got to break the Oscar news to her soon.
Oh, well, I'm sure. Do you have something special coming up later today?
No, that she's not coming.
Oh, she's not. Oh.
I wasn't sure
what that was all about.
Racist.
We are very racist on this show.
A little bit.
Feel free.
Well, last week was a fine example.
It's a huge one, yes. In fact, I'm surprised that I haven't heard anything back from Stacey Lewis in regards to pulling that episode down. Oh, you missed a lot, Katie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. When you miss one N-word, you miss a lot on this show.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. And I won't mean negativity. That's not the N-word I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Well.
You looking for sympathy, Blanche? It's right in the dictionary.
Jesus. That was...
Shit. Suppository.
God.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting show last week.
That was some stuff.
Yeah, wasn't it, though? Anywho, we are here for another 3 hour of adventure into God knows what with this cast and crew. Welcome back, Katie June, who was gone last week.
I was.
Was it worth it?
It was great. It was a very successful... I mean, well...
Where were you?
Great. Subjective. I was at a work event.
Oh, sounds fascinating.
That sounds vague.
So it was...
I said a work event.
Work.
It was
she died of a disease.
Your name is not Roxanne by any odd chance.
Roxanne.
Is there a red light involved?
It was a good event. It was a successful fundraiser for the congresswoman. But it's work. So I say it was great because...
I thought it was HRC.
No, it was...
then I told everybody wrong for 2 weeks.
Yep. No, that was work. And it was, it's like... And I wasn't intending to go. I have always said Tuesdays are kind of my day. I can't do work. I schedule event on Tuesday, but I can't go be the staffer. But
Right. Our
finance director had the flu. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
So I was there in his place and it went well. And then I left actually on Wednesday morning to go to Washington, D.C.
Oh, very exciting.
And that was for an HRC Women's Leadership retreat.
Now I'm partially correct.
I see those words
You're
together.
You're back on. It's really...
Women and leadership.
Oh, isn't it? Really?
What a quaint notion. Yeah.
Cute, huh?
Yeah.
Good for the gals.
Atta
so
girl.
This retreat was so wonderful. And... I've told every single one of them about this podcast. So, hello, ladies, if you're listening.
The ladies who lunch.
We will try HRC.
We will try to be on your team.
Yeah, they were all really excited about it. So it was just great. And I thought it was like a leadership thing. Like, here's how to be, I don't know. I thought it was more related to HRC. It was very much like a personally touchy-feely exploration of... I'm sounding really sexist.
Can I be sexist really fast?
This,
can I be sexist really fast? That's usually what a ladies' retreat is about.
But
a lot of feelings and a lot of like, let's put this to committee for one more time and I'll talk about our feelings.
It wasn't that. It was very...
And that's how we lose the ladies who lunch.
It was kind of just very learning about yourself and your leadership style and your skills and weaknesses, but like being really kind of vulnerable with your weaknesses and kind of just really showing up. And it was an incredible... kind of a refueling, right? Like it just refueled my tank. I didn't even know that the tank was so depleted, kind of.
You're not really in touch with your tank, I imagine.
I guess not. But it was great. And I came back feeling so good and just happy.
How many days were you gone?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And you were without wife and without child.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck, no wonder
That's helpful.
You could have gone to Poughkeepsie and for 5 days and come back refreshed.
Sat in a hotel room. Yeah,
I've never been to Poughkeepsie. I just assume it would be someplace you could retreat to.
And luckily, I'm drunk enough to not remember where Poughkeepsie is. Is it New York?
It's New York.
I was going to say Nebraska, so I got the N right.
You got the N.
I got the N right.
N-E. I mean, you were
almost there.
Sounds very who moved my cheese.
Yeah.
What color is your parachute?
Thank you. It was. It was that. And I always think that stuff is very hokey.
There's some merit to it.
Some hoke in there, but it was...
Some hoke and some poke.
Really great. And the women were so wonderful. And it was just a really great experience.
Okay.
Yeah,
very
so
cool.
That was good. It was also icy, icy cold. And I went from the day before I left, like legitimately sitting outside working by the pool.
Sunning yourself right now.
Working like by the pool to ice storms. So that was pleasant.
Insane, the weather.
Yeah.
I send my sister a text every day that says, your life sucks, move. And then I get a text like 12 hours later from the drunk same sister going, are you following our weather? It's really miserable here. Why do you think I make fun of you every morning?
Why did I text you?
What is it you think the morning text is about besides move the fuck out of there?
It cracks me up on Facebook. Everybody is posting screenshots of the weather and of the thermostat. Uh-huh. But no one ever mentions the racism and terrible politics in Arizona. They're like, oh, look what you're missing out.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a culture swap.
Yeah.
We to give and a take. We'll deal with 75 degrees and a cunt named Brewer.
Yeah.
But
we'll take it. We'll take her for the weather.
But hey, New York has stop and frisk, so they can't get too far up on the
too
cross.
Uppity.
Yeah.
Now wait, is that something you can sign up for?
Stop and frisk. Yeah. Yes. Okay. But you're white, so they won't do it to you. That's the problem.
Oh.
You'll just have to watch others be stopped and frisked, which can be entertaining.
Still,
I
bet it can.
Could you stop and frisk him?
I just want to watch.
Yeah, I'll stand right here with a hand towel and a bottle of lotion. See you in a minute.
Did you see the Onion stop and kiss version of it?
The Onion today had like 5 headlines that were spectacular.
I know. I did not see that.
Oh, I thought they were neglecting me. I was feeling a little lost by the Onion. And then today they hit me with like really good headlines, which I'll share with you if I get sober enough to find that page.
Shit. We're not
at the onion.com.
We're not the hopeful.
Spoiler.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Sometimes he can't find his ass with 2 hands sitting in that chair. Trust he can't.
I've been doing the regions of France bottle by bottle today. So
yes, he has.
Sounds like a
girl.
Fun day off.
Get it, girl.
Get it.
I called it sun tanning.
I'm having a good one
because I was on a bike.
Yes, you were. And some motherfucker stole your back light. I don't understand this.
But they were kind.
Me too.
Just like the people that broke into my house.
This week, mine
they did it kindly
gone.
And gently, and they didn't break anything. They just slipped it.
What
off.
In the hell?
My front light is still there, but someone stole my back light this week.
And I think the front light is easier to steal. So I'm like, bitches.
I don't get what... At some point, there's a saturation level where nobody will steal anything anymore because there's enough of them in the pawn shops that the crack people have all...
Yeah.
Isn't there going to be some kind of...
It's like a $7 one. I don't know why.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah,
well,
mine
it's
was
not
cheap
like,
too.
Yeah, but still, I just don't get it. At some point, there's got to come a stop where no more bikes are stolen, no more lights are stolen.
What I just don't... And I just don't understand...
No more drama.
And I know I won't get it because I'm not a person that steals things, but... It's not his. Like, that's yours. You
right.
paid for it. You bought it. Like, what? I just don't understand the mentality of someone else walking up going,
did you learn that at your women's
awesome.
Festival?
Well, no. I mean, do you just want to walk around with a flashy red light and hold it up at different angles? What are you going to do with that?
I
break
just
up
don't.
The whole, at least take the apparatus that holds it.
I don't get it.
Let me help you steal it. Let me give you a screwdriver so you can take the whole thing. If you need
it's
it that
badly.
The
mentality behind it. Like,
well,
I didn't
no, because
buy that,
I custom
awesome
made the bracket that held that motherfucker.
Right.
Except the plastic piece. That they
left completely intact.
I should have super glued the motherfucker together.
Motherfucker.
And then they would have just ripped the motherfucker off.
Right, then
they'd
have been
mad.
Agitated because, like, why are you making this so hard for me to steal? I must punish you by breaking it.
Right.
I hate these.
Right. Or they're slash horrible. Your tires or whatever the hell else.
And I have to tell you, the 1 year anniversary of burglary number 2 just passed.
Oh, okay.
I was very nervous to go to work that night.
Oh, well.
Because it was the very same circumstance. It was something that I had to go to work for early. It was like blah, blah, blah. It was the whole chain of events leading up to it that
was almost the
I
same.
Went in early. I was going when it was still light outside, and then it got dark, and I was paranoid the whole night. And I got home, and I'm like, still nervous.
Yeah.
But did you feel like you overcame that hurdle? Let's talk about it.
Well, because it's the other side.
Let's
of
talk
it.
About so, how you
felt. You're not at a woman's
retreat.
I didn't
that.
Have to go to a ladies' meeting.
It's like the Lilith Fair without
Fair.
Music.
You didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have an Obama-y kind of night here. I'm just telling you. Mama's trashed.
You, meaning
me.
Mama.
Yeah.
You, yes. How did your day start, sir? What happened? Just
well,
wake
I
up
woke
and...
up and I got a "Are you off today?" text from Mr. Mark Martinez, and I had to say, "Yeah."
Well, if you're in this condition, I can only imagine what condition he's in.
No, held up beautifully.
What happened?
Beautifully paced. The wine was good
because we all have seen how things
turn out. It went nicely. We went to Joyride for a luncheon.
Okay,
what did you think?
Iffy at best. If you're going to put on Mexican food, you better be a lot.
Put it
fucking,
on.
You better be
put
way.
That, shit
fucking,
on.
That was bland.
Yeah.
Bland.
I was
bland.
Disappointed.
I was too. And Kelly was, and another friend of mine.
The atmosphere was lovely.
Great
cute.
Bar.
My
cute.
Blood orange margarita was worth the price of admission. I do have to say that blood orange margarita was the highlight of the show. But you
they also have like a cucumber. What's that? Cucumber jalapeno.
But
it's like yummy.
That sounds good.
Honest to God, how long? How many margaritas? Now that none of us are in our 20s, how many margaritas can you put down before you're like, gots to go to Filiberto's and get some better Mexican food?
It was right. Okay.
And it was kind of pricey for really, really mediocre food.
The salsa was good.
Salsa
so
was
like,
good. Oh, I have to
I was
agree.
Starting on a high note.
I will agree with you
great.
There.
Salsa was great, and then the food came, and none of it was good.
Expectations
great.
Were high based yeah. on a really good salsa. And I usually say Chinese food, judge it by the egg roll. If the egg roll's shitty, just walk out.
Yeah.
If you can't get course number one right, we can't help you with the Mushu Gai Pan.
What did, have you, what did you think of Taco Guild? Because I like Taco
I haven't
Guild.
Been there
I have
yet.
Not been there yet.
I have not either. Did you like it?
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah,
I've heard other people say
beautiful.
The same thing.
Beautiful.
Well, it was a church, so chances are they couldn't really screw that up.
That it's whole, beautiful.
Honest to God, it's the evil empire, and they're trying to put my lesbian friends out of business at Urban Bean. But that Starbucks is really lovely. And
it's great. The old school.
Yeah. Luckily, they were shitty, and they took 7 hours to make my coffee at that Starbucks, so I went right back to the lesbians.
Yeah, girl.
Didn't hesitate twice to be like, you know what they fucked up? Are you ready for this? Venti drip.
Like, I don't even know what that means.
That means
either.
A drip coffee. That means
a large,
coffee that I can make at home in the 20-ounce cup. Which
regular
is the legal
brewed
limit.
Coffee.
Regular brewed coffee. A venti drip. And I was like, 15 minutes later, I'm like, just sell me something. Yes. I have to go to work around the corner. I don't care what you have that has caffeine in it. Throw it in a cup and throw a sweet and low in there and get me the fuck out of your drive-thru. And the lady was like...
You were in the drive-thru for 15 minutes?
Those drive-thrus
15 minutes
are the
best. In a goddamn drive-thru at a Starbucks. I'm like, are you new at this?
But he's in a hybrid car.
Yes. Thank you.
So that's good. That's why they weren't worried. They're
my
like,
footprint. Yeah, the footprint's not really getting
any
bigger.
He is in a hybrid car, ladies and gentlemen.
But I'm interested to try the Taco Guild because...
Likewise.
Who's in charge of that concept?
Z Tejas.
Oh, okay. I like Z.
I do too. They give you cornbread with everything, and I can't argue with it. I can't.
What about the Gadzooks on the
love it?
I haven't
love
been
it.
Yet.
But you know what? Late at night when I go, or later in the evening when I go, they seem to be sold out of the soups. They're out, which I appreciate. Don't sell me something old and tired, or something that's been sitting too long in the heat. So it's really just enchiladas.
We sell you something old and tired every
and an
week
empty
here.
Stainless steel pot that we just cleaned out because somebody else ate it. So that's my only complaint.
I've been there a few times and I absolutely loved it.
Mm. I have too. But I'm curious about their soups because they're gone by 6:45.
Good
almost
shit.
Consistently. So,
but again, a little pricey. Just a little bit. I mean, not expensive, but $20
it's like tacos.
Lunch.
Yeah. It's a lot for
well,
tacos.
Well, our lunch today on Happy Hour at the mediocre place was $31. And that was the sale price. And I'm like,
yeah, it's not good.
Filiberto's is like $8 for like all I can eat.
It is a
7-pound burrito.
Not all you can eat, but all I can eat.
It's a good. And like sometimes though, you just have to know good patio, good salsa, happy hour. You
right.
just have to kind of
So
your
you know
joints.
What we did though, because it's all the same concept
and
the same people
that,
making money. I walked
go?
Right over to Postino.
Delicious.
Had one because I got sick of the $5 bottle of crap because I'm not poor. So I was like, you know what? I don't need your happy hour special.
This week, she's not. Now, last couple weeks, he thought the world was going to end. And exactly what he does.
Please, that's my whole psychological drama this week and why I'm drinking. So we went there and I'm like, sell me something. Like, I don't want to sit here and have a McDonald's experience at Postino like I always do. I want the 36th Street and Campbell. I want the Arcadia version of your restaurant. Like, sell me a good bottle of wine and teach me something about wine. Give me the real Postino,
not
this
you.
McDonald's shit that you do on Central.
Yeah,
make me like wine.
Right.
And the guy was like, I have to go to another waiter. He seriously said that. He's like, oh, we're not ready for that question. So we went and got somebody else. The guy
which is
walked
stupid.
Me through the aisles. We shopped. He was like, what do you like? Do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like this? I'm like, yes. And it was a reasonable price point. It wasn't more than I would pay at
any place else. Do you think the guy referred you to someone else who could deal with you? Not because he
no,
needed
no, no, no,
no. He didn't let
I
me finish.
No, okay.
Do you think he maybe pawned you off because he couldn't deal with a drunk person, or because he didn't know
then.
Information about wine?
No, I was sober then.
Who
I
believes
was,
that?
I was trying to get drunk.
Oh, no, I believe
okay,
you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I was with you.
Oh, no. He
He's
honestly
like,
was not
this
ready.
This guy's an asshole. I'm out.
No, I was giving him regions of France and what I wanted. I'm like, I don't want to drink some shit that you put for $5. I want a nice bottle of wine.
Gotcha.
And I'm really trying to get drunk, and you people aren't helping.
I have stopped in there for the occasional bottle of wine, and I appreciate it. Yeah, when they just go, buy this. I'm
and
like,
it was
perfect.
Supposed to be corked and thrown into the basket to come here.
Mm. And you finished it off?
Oh, gone.
That girl.
It's a fun afternoon.
Right.
I guess.
And the off. Way I tip, if I'm a little drunk, fuck you.
Fuck you. Now, was it only you and Martinez, or were there other victims?
Just the two of you. We had a lot of catching up to do.
He doesn't have to work. He also had the day off.
He's off on Monday and Tuesdays,
no,
right?
Not anymore, but he's taking some. He got that letter that I did last year with like either use your PTO or fuck off
or lose it. Right?
Yeah, my letter is coming in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I don't see how they can send you that letter from the standpoint of they called you at the drop of a hat to go to that restaurant to do anything.
And oh right, yeah.
So they can't. Why do you take no time off? Because you fucking call me every 7
right,
minutes.
And they know that they're very okay, they're honest
it.
About
so
it.
So this is like a form letter they have to send.
They
you.
Have. They just have
got
to
it.
Send
okay.
it. It's not a punishment. It's just.
Do you get those kind of letters, Barbara?
I don't.
From the establishments where you are employed.
Nope.
Gotcha. Now
they can't get enough.
Really? Who can't get enough?
They can't
Barbara
get
Sevier.
Enough.
Exactly.
Barbara, what have you been up to? I heard you won an award.
She did.
Recently.
I saw her get it.
I did. I won a...
It looks a colorful plate,
it
whatever
is.
It was.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's big.
It really is. It's about, what is it, that diameter?
Yeah.
It's a huge plate.
Now, will you
thing.
Be serving nachos off there?
You could, it could work for salad. It's more bowl-like. Mm-hmm. But it's beautiful.
Oh, wait, multicolored.
It was lovely.
And what was that
for? Yeah, tell
what
us about it.
It was at the Arizona USA pageant, and it was called the Phoenix Rising Award, and it was just in recognition of hard work and dedication and being a good
no,
doobie.
I listened to it was presented.
Now wait,
to
weren't you there?
I was there.
Was?
Okay,
but I was just a spectator in the audience. Only Phil. I love.
Oh no, I just mean. But didn't you see him win?
No,
like,
I
are
totally
you asking follow up questions.
No, I didn't. Because that's what a good interviewer does. Have you ever seen Piers Morgan or any other Barbara Walters? I'll use references you like.
Yeah.
No, the other thing that I really liked about now it was funny when I ran into Barbara last night to take her a little gift I had for her. She's the first thing she said, "What the hell were you doing at a pageant?" Because she knows I don't really give a shit. I only went to support my friend Michael, who was there running.
Oh, and a good friend you are. I was glad to hear he did well.
He did.
He's going to Nashville. And he used to live in this room too.
This very room.
No. He was in the dressing room.
Oh, my bad.
No, this was Phaedra's room, then Jason Carlton's room, and now our studio.
Oh, all right.
Yes, but I appreciate you for trying to keep up with who has lived in my house.
Yeah, thank you. It's a tough game.
It's actually not. For as long as I've lived in this house, I've only a few people. However, Barbara, what I thought was very nice, and because Fernelli did the presentation to you for that award, he led up to it explaining different things that this at the time anonymous person, as he was just giving you accolades right and left. But one of the things that he said, and I thought it was wonderful when he said it, is the fact that the first thing he came to you when he was asked about taking over, was it Arizona?
Yes, the pageants.
He was asked to take it over or to buy the franchise or however that works. And you were the first person he asked. He came to and he said, should I do this? And your first response was something to the effect of, yes, but make sure that they don't take advantage of you.
That's when I knew that it was me, because I heard my own words. I was like, oh, that's exactly what I
said. I was
going to
ask, did you know, were you prepped that you were receiving this award?
No.
Or, okay.
No, he looked blindsided.
Now, who asked you about buying it? I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of that.
Fernelli.
Okay, that's why. I was going to make sure that I'm hearing what I think I'm hearing.
But I just thought that was such a good... I really thought that was nice. The fact that you're concerned greater than it would be nice to have him as a promoter, or it would be great to have blah, 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 blah. Your first concern was... Don't get fucked over. Let's make sure the girls are. No, I think all of us
and
in this room have worked with enough.
Let's admit that Mike Fornelli is the nicest person alive, and will say yes to more people than this one will.
Right,
yeah. And that
but
was
doesn't
my
do as many diets.
Yeah.
Doesn't do as many diets as she does.
No,
yeah,
no.
But I thought that was a great attribute to you to know that your first concern wasn't oh great a new pageant system or some new promoter. Your concern was for a friend to make sure that they were respected with going into this,
and he's done it.
He's totally into it.
He's a great ambassador for.
He did not pay attention to me though.
No, of course not.
He did not heed that warning.
But at least going
because
in.
Because he's Mike Fornelli and he's not going to say no to anybody.
It's not in his vocabulary.
Has anybody ever heard him say that
such
word?
But he's so lovely. And I.
And that's what I mean by that. I hope that came across.
No, that is what you're saying. I'm just agreeing with you that I know him kind of surface level always, you know. And then I was judging a pageant, a Mr. pageant, and he was kind of responsible for, you know, he was the head judge. And I just loved being around him. I got to spend, he's charming and kind. I spent the whole day with him, and I just really loved being around him. And then I saw him again at Rainbows after that, and we just chatted.
Exceedingly smart and funny. Follows it up with intelligence. And
he's also the very rare, really considerate smoker.
Oh, is he back to smoking?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Is it Bryce as well?
I don't know if Bryce smokes.
I would swear that he did, but probably. Maybe I'm wrong. Because, I mean, because Fernelli is doing a good job on that.
I have to say, my 18th time through college was only a success because of all of his and Darren's help. Like, and I
hashtag had, good people.
I always have to thank Darren, Mike, and Eddie for, you know, 18th try at college was there because of DME Incorporated or Limited or whatever they were known as. But Mike, always on my team.
He's another person that I...
Exhausted bitch that I was, he always said yes and was kind, and I could not have done it.
He's another person that for at least the 20 years that I've known him, and I'm going to guess that you'd be in the same boat with this, Al, he's never changed. He is the most... He's very consistent in every aspect. Yeah. He's always been, again, very nice, charming guy. Every time you see him, he's always a smiler. Genuinely concerned with how you are.
Yeah,
I feel, unless he just really puts that rose colored glasses on and just lies to everybody. But I don't think
that's a lot of long term lying. Yeah. If you're really, yeah, no, really. All people have good things to say, so you got to imagine at this point it's probably just him.
Yeah, I met him the weekend. I met him the weekend my niece was christened, and I missed the plane. And my niece is now 23 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, good. So you do you outrank me by a few years on that one, which is completely fine.
No. I mean, not to like pee on anybody's parade or anything like that. But if that is the most consistent act in history
for all those years. By the way, for those of you listening, if you're looking for the chat link on the main page at QTalkAmerica.com, Joe is going to work on that, get that fixed for us. But you can go to our Facebook page. I did post a link directly to the chat room on the Facebook page, so you can go there without me having to explain to you the long blah, blah, blah.
I'm going
to
try and find it right now.
Okay. Well, and I will just point out, because Harrison was asking about Tyler, and I'm thinking that may be why Tyler is not in the chat room, because he doesn't have the face link. The Facebook link.
Oh, that's a good
point.
So
he could be listening. Because I do miss Tyler, because he is the one person that pays attention to my entertainment section.
Got it.
He is my one person audience.
Tyler, if you're out there, hi, friend.
Tyler, if you've got a Tyler, if you've got a pencil or pen, just in case you're out there, I will read the website name for you. So get a pen, make sure you're ready to go.
Compelling listening.
For Tyler it is. He's been faithful for like almost 2 years.
He really has. And the funny thing is, he is one of those people. He's a school teacher, but he does not have Facebook. He does have internet because he listens to us. He finds us. But other than that, he's kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? He's kind of socially, or not socially, but social media.
I wondered where you were going.
Okay. Not involved.
Social media, he's not involved.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it.
Socially not involved is almost what I said, but that's not what I meant.
I was afraid.
You never know what the hell's going
to
have on this.
I have to, go ahead. Read your compelling radio piece. compelling radio piece.
So good. Thank God, because, well, you've got a couple weeks to make up for. Tyler, if you were listening, or anybody else who is, it's QTalkAmerica.com, and then you type in /chat_, and then it's 284729.html.
For a transcript.
Yes, please
write down everything Clayton
says. A self-addressed stamped envelope.
Harrison says, is she chopped liver? She pays attention. I know you do, Charlie, but you have to listen to me in real life, too.
Right, but you also know how to, you found the chat room on your own, so you're good. Katie, you had something
so now
equally as entertaining.
I do. I'm sure
she's
that
gonna
someone
read from a phone book.
Good. Someone in this room will
know that we'll still like her.
I was listening to NPR, and it was like a random weekend program, so I didn't even know how to look it up to find out what it was that I was listening to. I heard this woman's voice, and it was this British thing.
NPR, yeah.
And it is something that they play in the United Kingdom, and it's like British maritime. It's the shipping trades.
To all the ships at sea.
I love the ships at sea.
No, I've got to find. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, I know what the shipping times is.
Okay, and it's that radio program, and all they do is talk about the boats that are coming in and those that are going out. Yeah. And they literally use things like longitude and latitudinal coordinates, and they just
that's how those people steer that and figure it out.
It's very soothing to listen to.
And it was the craziest radio segment about how it has this bananas listenership, the crazy amount of people.
Literally all the ships at sea have to listen to it.
But it's also, they had people calling in, that people at home who are just laying on their couch tuning in for good save. Nice.
That was
and I'm the drunk that's, one, people.
That's an experience
she
drinker
should
right
have
there.
More. She should probably have more. What do you need, Barbara?
A drinker.
I'm going to bring you down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Good luck. It's usually this one's the one we're trying to bring down.
Anyway, I'm putting it on our Facebook page so everyone that's listening can tune into the International Shipping Train.
Now, my movie companion over here to my right, Ms. Seville, the shipping news.
Terrible movie from about, what, 7, 8? Years ago?
Maybe probably 11. 10, 12,
Shipping news was
terrible.
Kevin Spacey.
Never heard of him.
Judi Dench. Surprising. I want to say Judi Dench appears in it
Dame.
Somewhere.
Before she
anything
was a
to
Dame.
Do with that? Because that's what made me Google it, and that's how I found the shipping.
Okay. Never.
It was a movie that went nowhere. Kind of like the bombing one.
Oh, I think it's the shipping forecast. That's what it's called.
But there's
sounds even less interesting.
Yeah. Exactly.
At the tone, the time is.
But
is that what she is?
Yes.
It really is a bunch of people like listening to nothing, but they talk about everything. It kind of goes all over the board.
It reminds me of, now again, let's go way back to my childhood. My grandfather he was in World War II. Wasn't a bunch of other shit anyway. But I had a shortwave radio, and it's one of the old radios where you could tune the dial and you could pick up all the other countries and the ships at
that's
sea and all
what
that.
That's what it sounds.
Okay,
that's
so
what it's very reminiscent.
Before
of.
Internet, back when we were all younger, not in your lifetime, Katie, but in ours, before internet, before you could just look up and find out what the exact time was, because I've always been obsessed with it being exactly on the time. So in my hometown, there was a phone number you could call and get the time and temperature.
Oh, everybody, yeah.
Right, had that. But it was never accurate. But I found out with the shortwave radio... I found out with the shortwave radio.
Control much?
No, you got the... Really? You're telling me about control, Seville? But what I used to do is use that radio, and it would be that, like, it was a metronome that was tick-tock, and then there was that soft tone, just, at the tone, the time is 2100 hours exactly, and then tick-tock, beep, and you'd know exactly when it was.
Yeah.
So even though... And then I knew how to change back the time, because it was universal time, so we were at...
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah. So you were like here, where I think we're eight hours... behind that, 8 hours off of that. So anyway, so that's I used to run around the house and set all the clocks based on that because I was obsessed with time. I always have been.
Okay, you'll love me now. I had a shortwave radio and I would just listen to people talk. Like I would just I can't remember if it was my grandfather or my uncle got me a shortwave radio because they knew how much I watched TV and they thought maybe we should switch that up a little bit. And I was truly fast. I had a shortwave radio for years and I would just tune the dial like Jodie Foster in Contact. Yeah. And I would just listen to people talk about absolutely nothing, and I was fascinated by it.
And you could
find conversations, and they could. Some of them were news broadcasts,
right, all over the world.
All over the world.
I sold the radio that I had. It was a 1952 RCA, and I actually sold it on eBay a couple years ago. And
mine was
it.
Silver.
Mine was a big box.
I don't know. That's all I know about it.
It was silver. Mine was leather. The whole case was leather.
Oh, lovely.
It was a very nice thing. But I sold it and shipped it to Becky somewhere. What's going on over there?
I couldn't find the chat room, so.
Okay. Do you want me to read it again?
Well, I would think. Can't you find it from there?
Well, no, because the link for some reason is popping up. QTalkAmerica.com/chat_.
I feel like they're going to get it.
2 8. Oh, is she getting you there? Katie.
Why be afraid?
What did
That's
you
what I thought I heard there.
What's your snack? What did you bring?
I brought some peanut butter pretzels. Would you like
one? I would like to see what they are.
Would you like to see with your mouth?
Oh, they're full of... they've been injected?
Filled with peanut butter.
Go ahead and give me the link one more time.
Yeah.
All right.
QTalkAmerica.com/chat_.
And
that's
wait,
chat. Did you get chat?
Harrison had a CB radio that she was addicted to. Mine was black.
Yeah. All right. You tell him. I'll talk to Harrison.
Got it. _284729.html.
As even the people in the room get on board.
Yeah. There are more
That's
people.
Compelling radio there is what you just heard.
What's wrong, Richard?
I still didn't make it.
I'm sharing the link on my timeline.
It's on our Facebook page.
Yeah, but something happened weird when I went to the Facebook page. It doesn't show up the same.
Okay.
All right, so who's doing headlines tonight?
Well, I am. I'm doing all of them.
Is there a theme song for headlines?
There is.
I hope we hear it.
Because I composed something earlier.
Well, I'm glad that you did. You composed.
Headlines all alone.
It's vaguely familiar. Why be afraid?
Oh, you're killing me. You are killing me with that. But
no, but seriously, whoever's phone went off,
mine.
Was it Gloria Estefan? Because that's what it sounded like.
Wasn't mine.
All right. Whoever's phone went off sounded like Gloria Estefan.
No, mine didn't. No,
coming out of the dark.
Mine's on silent. Oh, I know what you're talking about,
I finally see the light now.
Yeah.
How does that go? Because I feel like I want to sing.
Why be afraid? I'm not alone.
I'm sure we're going to get censured for that.
Coming
at some point.
Out of the dark!
Oh, my. Wow. You might want to really turn him down. Is who you're
see, that's what you have to
down.
Really turn down. But it's all right. 7:30 at Q-Talk America. Ooh, and here we go. Some headline stuff. And we'll talk. We have all kinds of things to talk about. And Barbara Seville's here, so God knows what she brought. But we'll figure it out in this segment and so many more on Q-Talk America. After crashing into a chicken restaurant, man chokes his own chicken. Disney Channel introduces the first same-sex couple in a comedy series on their network. Coke apologizes for anti-gay social media tool. Same-sex couple from Arizona is one of the many couples married at the Grammys. There are no gay people in this city, according to the mayor. And North Korea lands the first man on the sun. This and much more coming right here on Q-Talk America.
I'm intrigued.
Oh, you should be, really. And if you want some more information on this upcoming story, you can go to our Facebook page, because I posted several links to stories right there. On Monday morning, about 10:30, a 34-year-old man seemed to be feeling pretty good, according to police. Well, he crashed his car into the Crown Fried Chicken restaurant at 5th and Lehigh.
That sounds fancy.
In North Philadelphia. And then, then he disrobed. Now, you may be thinking that Crown Fried Chicken must have a very special recipe, because rather than assessing the damage to the car, he decided to strip down and pleasure himself to the delight or horror of onlookers. And though the video that's posted on our Facebook page and other media outlets isn't 100% clear as to the self-pleasuring activity, the man who shot the video assures reporters that, he was most definitely making himself feel happy. But if you look at the Facebook page, there's a screenshot of the man standing next to the car. And then there's a video, a 14-second video, that shows him actually doing something that looks like he may be having a good time.
I mean...
Oh, yeah, he was having a good time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was. I'm sure. And it didn't
waxing
even involve
the surfboard.
Choking his chicken. Scroll down.
Can't miss that one. Yeah, can't miss it.
It's not ambiguous at all.
No. Silver car, naked man.
I love the header. Man crashes car, strips, and masturbates.
Yes.
That's actually was going to be the name of my memoir.
Oh.
Well played.
Hey, it's still available.
Now I'm screwed, aren't I?
No, that was just a headline, Barbara.
Copyright laws.
Never. Yeah, no copyright. No copyright law infringement there. You'll be fine. Nothing to worry about. Well, our dear friends over at the Disney Channel have a sitcom called Good Luck, Charlie. I've never watched it.
I just saw this.
Do you know this?
I watched the little clip today, too.
So okay. Great.
So some sitcoms go out with a little bit of a whimper and just kind of fade into television sunset, but not with Good Luck, Charlie. On the Disney Channel comedies, they have a two-part series finale that airs on February 16th, and viewers will then be introduced to Susan and Cheryl, the first confirmed same-sex couple ever to appear in the kid-oriented network. And actually, here's a clip of audio from the upcoming episode.
Taylor has two moms.
Nothing gets past you, Bob.
This is a huge move for Disney Channel, which has never featured an openly gay character, much less a same-sex couple. And no matter what everyone has speculated about the High School Musical's Ryan Evans, Disney Channel aims to, quote, reflect themes of diversity and inclusiveness. And though the introduction of the lesbian couple is naturally being met with some opposition from conservative watch groups, Disney Channel stands by its decision. The characters were meant to reflect today's world, as many viewers are young children with same-sex parents.
I love it.
Now, did you watch any of it other than what you just heard?
No. I just saw there was a 60-second clip just posted.
Oh, but you did watch that part.
I did watch that clip.
Because what I thought was so great about it was literally... It wasn't a plot point. It was, and it moved on.
Right.
Oh,
no,
my God. It was great. And I love the way that the mom reacted when the husband's like, oh, okay. And she goes, what you just heard. Nothing gets past you.
And you thought it was going to be bigger based on the fact that the one is saying, well, I met her mom and her name is Cheryl. And
right.
I met the other. No, that's her name. And when they met again, it was just a kind of a moot point.
Yeah, it was. That's
totally normal.
That's what I thought was more interesting than a same-sex couple was that the way they handled it, as it was like, oh, the car's red.
Right. Yeah, well, they have a red car. I got it.
It was almost a non sequitur.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was cool. And I read this again. I'm reading this purely from a story I didn't write, but I thought this was nice. The particular storyline was developed under the consultancy of child development experts and community advisors, a spokesman for the Disney Channel said, when the casting was first announced back in June of 13, like all Disney Channel programming, it was developed to be relevant to kids and families around the world and reflect themes of diversity and inclusiveness. So not only was it something that they didn't make, like you said, Richard, you know, it wasn't a stop everything, let's freak out and have a deal.
It wasn't a very special episode.
No, right, right. Right, no, yes. You're right. It was just a blip on the radar.
It
and I think
me
that's
think
all
of,
it needed to be.
How Al's take on every Beverly Hills 90210, very special episode.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And tonight's
it wasn't
very special,
special
episode.
No.
Well, and what I think is really cool is two things. I hadn't read this. I watched the, Kelly had just said, oh, did you see this? And we watched the clip and we went, oh, that's cool. And I love their reasoning behind it because it's so true that so many, there are so many more. And I read, it's a big number. I just read it in some HRC material. It's like, I want to say like 500,000, you know, parents, gay parents, or something like that. Gay families, some big number. But so it's cool that they're saying this is why, so that my daughter can grow up and she can watch the Disney Channel and see families that look like hers. And
that look
not
like
weird.
Her family, right, right, right.
But not just that, so that Piper's friends are Palmer's friends.
Palmer,
are, I always call her Piper. Palmer's friends don't have a meltdown when they realize.
Right, that, when Kelly and Katie.
Kelly picks her up one day and the next day.
Yeah, it's not a freak out. And what else is really neat is the Disney Channel and all of their kind of subsidiaries have, they all are 100%.
Like Disney?
Well, all of them. I guess I should say
ABC.
Disney, Walt Disney, and then all of the different
I just
things.
Call it the
oh,
mouse.
And there's billions and billions
but
and billions.
They, every single one of them has 100% on HRC's workplace equality and yeah, they
that.
All have 100%.
No, here's, and my point that I was trying to get to, but I was busy pouring drinks.
Valid
Disney
reason
has,
to be absent.
Thank you. Is Disney it? Has a very sketchy past.
Right.
Very.
And they still have a way of paying people in their parks that's a little sketchy because they make them all earn carny wages. They're in the carny union as part of the Disney parks. But what they do across the board is they, like, ABC makes sure they do it. ABC will not be part of a anti-gay campaign. Like, anything Disney-related, they are so all-inclusive that they make up divisions. If you remember the movie Kids from 20-some years ago, where Chloe Sevigny comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Very disturbing movie, and Disney wanted to make it, and they were like, you can't do this, so they made up Touchstone Pictures. They just made up a department so that they could get away with making this movie and promoting it to show something else without tainting
I never
the mouth.
Knew just, that I didn't about know that.
They will. They will just branch off and create something new.
Throw a billion
sure
dollars.
Touchstone, Buena Vista. There's another one.
I knew Buena Vista was part, but I didn't realize that that's how.
And I think it's Touchstone.
If I didn't realize that.
I could be wrong. It could be a different one. But look up Kids on IMDb and
yep,
find out
it.
Who distributed them.
But thank God you're back,
Katie.
That
was developed specifically to get people off the mouse's back. And I will say that one of the other things, and it was an earlier incarnation, whatever the word would be for that, of families that Sesame Street addressed first, and now Disney owns Sesame Street and all its characters. Do they?
Yes. Yeah. They really do.
Yeah, they really do. But they came up with grandparents as parents, and Sesame Street was the first person to address that. And I don't know if anybody else remembers that, but they were the first people to say, you may live with an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. You may be in a different situation, but we're very welcoming because they are very clear about making sure that they know their demographic. And you can say it's the evil empire like I do, or you can just admit, like, these fuckers know what they're doing. And
that's
they want to make sure that everybody grows up and says, I felt included.
Mm-hmm.
I want,
not just that.
I want to go to that goddamn park.
There you go. I felt included. I feel good about them. I want to share this with my kids in 20 years.
That's right. What,
they're grooming. And
they're grooming. And you it just keeps breeding and breeding. And you have to acknowledge it that
they're doing it with this TV
show. And they make it non-special. Like,
right.
We're going to throw it at you. And then we're going to throw some curveball. We're not going to make it a special episode.
There's another ABC family show that has, it's a show about a lesbian moms. And then, which is, you know, some, you know, like hour long kind of show. I don't know. I don't watch it, but I know it exists. And there's also a Sesame Street. And I was looking this up. So forgive me if you just said this. They have a character that is HIV positive.
Yes.
On Sesame Street, which is incredible because they just have her on there and they talk about it in kid friendly terms. So it's not scary.
I don't think she's I don't think that character is in the United States.
I think it's
South Africa.
It's a South, I think it's South Africa, Africa version.
Okay, the
but
funny
there's online stuff because I've looked her up before, okay. And there's like some online stuff with her, and there's stuff you can download and things you can read and show your kids and educational tools with her.
Details magazine, which sketchy at best, and their humor is not for everyone. So if you're easily offended, this might be the time to go to the bathroom. But what they do is they take stories and they assign fake headlines to them. They take real stories.
The Fosters is the show you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, and that, yeah. And they take real stories and they give them a fake headline. And it's offensive to everybody, but I read it every year and it's always funny. And they said, the story was the Muppets introduced their first character with HIV. And the headline was, well, you spent enough time with your hand up someone else's ass.
Good God.
I do remember that. I do.
And what was your next headline, Clayton?
So that's what I said.
The Muppets go on tour.
Of course it's offensive. Of course it's details. But I have to tell you, I was getting a pedicure and I had to laugh my ass off at their take on that. So there you go.
Right.
Shining Excalibur Pictures. It was Miramax. Right. It was Disney, owns Miramax, so they created Shining Excalibur Pictures because it was an
for
NC-17.
Kids? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. But so I knew they created a new
the
division.
The more you know.
Yep.
I miss Miramax. Can we have a moment for Miramax? Cheers to Miramax Pictures.
Sure.
And their demise.
I'll drink to anything at this point. Who cares? By the by, speaking of Disney and gay things, a friend of mine has for many, many years started in Dallas, has been here, works for Radio Disney. He's in charge of a lot of promotional stuff and does things. He was at Barrett Jackson. He's done a lot of things here in the Valley, and he's traveled all over the country. He actually, from the president, somebody he worked for in Dallas, who became the president of something in Burbank for Radio Disney, handpicked him. Gay as Christmas, wonderful kid, very annoying, nice guy. Handpicked him to go and be in charge of national advertising something liaison. So he's going to Burbank to work for Radio Disney. He's been with him for years.
That's amazing.
And yeah. I think it's fantastic
so cool.
Because he's promoted from within. And then also my friend Michael Rodriguez, who has been a tour guide in Disneyland for many, many years, to the point where he is now at the upper, he's like one of the, don't you call him?
Just throw an echelon.
A master tour guide, if you will. So the celebrities.
A docent.
He gets assigned.
He's the head docent.
He gets assigned to the celebrities when they bring their families in, and he tours them through the entire park.
That is so fun.
He was with Sherry Shepherd last year or so.
That's
when
so
they
fucked up.
No, just
oh,
last year
I've
when they went
cut
to.
In line by yeah. a celeb. By a pseudo celeb. She was the former, like, Bachelorette.
Owned by ABC.
ABC, right.
Oh, yeah.
But when The View went this last fall, last summer, Sherry Shepherd flew out, and he actually spent a day with her pre-taping a bunch of stuff for the episode when they were there for the week.
Yeah.
And then after the last round of elections, when Romney lost, oddly, the week after the elections, he was with the Romney family and toured them through the entire Disneyland. And there was a picture of him somewhere online. It was a picture snapped of Romney, and my friend Michael was in the shot.
Like, so look, I'm still happy. I don't care.
So I tagged. Oh, no, I saw it.
You just lost the election. What are you going to do? I'm going to Disneyland.
So I actually was at my mom's house. Saw him on TMZ. I saw the shot, and then I immediately texted him. He's like, yeah, I was on Romney.
Yeah. You got to do it. Like,
but hey, that's his job. He does what he does.
Look at that money.
That's the original Kool-Aid. But I got to say, like, it might be shit and everybody makes fun of them, including me, but when you just get down three layers and they do all the right things. And Frozen is their first ever, ever, ever solo directed by a woman motion picture.
Mm. More coming up in entertainment, I'm sure about that. Because I saw you post on Facebook today. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
I had a great weakness for it. Well, there may be a mental illness involved with that.
If you want to have a Coke and a gay, well, you may have some trouble in Russia. Coca-Cola has apologized and removed the offending program after LGBT activists called out the company's 2014 Winter Olympic sponsor, who, by the way, that's who Coke is, for promoting a social media tool that let users customize their own virtual can of Coke. So you could actually, like, email a can of Coke to somebody.
With your name in that,
in their font. But the unfortunate thing is, the app refused to recognize certain words, including gay, lesbian, and queer. However, would permit straight, hetero, and other words to go. Over the weekend, America Blog uncovered a South African website that invited users to, quote, share a virtual Coke, but responded to submissions of pro-gay words with an error message reading, oops, let's pretend you didn't just type that. Please try another name.
Ooh.
That's
what I think is the worst part.
Tuesday morning, Coca-Cola published an apology on its website stating that the program was incorrectly formatted and that the website has been pulled down until the glitch can be corrected. explaining that the Share a Coke campaign was intended to allow users to customize a Coke can with their own name in the brand's iconic logo script. Coca-Cola acknowledged that the version hosted on the company's South African site does not or didn't restrict submissions to names. So I thought it was interesting that the South African site was fine, but all the other ones were fucked up. Specifically, the name and message auto-generator on our South Africa Share a Coke website would not accept the word gay, but did accept the word straight, reads the statement from the representative of Coca-Cola, South Africa.
Coca-Cola's not alienating anybody either.
Right. So
they aren't, yeah.
Further going in through all this, activists are already upset with Coca-Cola's silence regarding the Olympics host country of Russia and their anti-LGBT laws and violent repression of all of this other stuff. Because recently there was apparently a picture of somebody who was being arrested in Russia. And apparently the officers, security officers, actually have a Coca-Cola logo on their uniform.
Oh, yeah.
So they are pictured arresting somebody with a Coke logo in their uniform, and Coke never said anything about this. So they're kind of upset that they're not speaking out in regards to this.
But the person interrupted the torch relay. I mean,
did they interrupt it, or would they just unfurl the flag?
No, they interrupted it and tried to grab the torch, and like they interrupted it.
I mean, yeah.
If you don't.
It's not okay.
You can't interrupt it. That's not okay.
No. Doesn't matter what country you're in. You're going to be arrested for that.
Because the story that I have, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Richard, it says a gay Russian was arrested and fined last week for unfurling a rainbow flag as the Olympic torch passed through his own city. Coke issued a statement addressing the arrest and confirming that the officers who detained the protester were wearing uniforms emblazoned. I like using the word emblazoned.
I do too.
With Coke's logo. The statement did not condemn the police's silencing of a protester, but did claim that the beverage company is, quote, one of the world's most inclusive brands, which values and celebrates diversity of all.
And they're in the same boat that Coors was in the 70s. Like, Coors Light's shitty, but so's Bud Light. So we don't even have to blink an eye to order a different crappy beer. So Coke, Diet Coke, guess what? Pepsi, Diet Pepsi. There you go. It's got a little rainbow on somewhere.
Somewhere,
you know
right.
What I mean? We made it into an Obama symbol. I mean, Coke's not stupid. They're going to be on top of this in a minute.
Coke's not stupid, and they're not stupid for being a sponsor of the Olympics. Tell me a country or a city where you're going to say no one is unhappy with something that's going on there.
Oh no, I find
a place. Tell me.
No, there's not.
No, and I've said this too because we went to Beijing.
Yeah,
we went to like a place where like human rights atrocities are a day to day basis, and we all marveled at what they did with slavery. Like they just took slaves and turned them into a show, and we all applauded.
Everyone cheered.
And we're glad we had HDTV. So well, I mean, I we do
see the oppression in living
yeah,
in, color.
Yeah, yeah. So, def, yeah. Oh my God, they look good oppressed. So I have to say, there is something to be said for the hypocrisy of now suddenly
that's
being worried
kind of
about
what
human rights.
I have thought as well, and I agree that we cannot. We've talked about this before on the show that we can't get upset and we can't boycott the athletes. That's totally unfair,
right?
But you know, also. I mean, I like Coke, so I just want to drink it. And I like NBC, so I just want to watch it. That's hard for me. Like those big umbrella brands.
And I keep saying, just go to... And now that I've researched my cable choices, and I'm trying to... Oh, my...
Jesus, Richard!
Christ, Lord!
And
is
again,
this your first cocktail?
There are paper towels.
I'm not used to it.
Or have you been too long without a
cocktail?
Would you like
to... Let's change glassware
stemless.
For him.
Let's get him a stemless.
My God.
And by let's, I mean... Get up and get a stemless when you clean up your mess.
Piece of shit.
We don't have a butler here.
I just have to say that the way to cut into their
Lee
money
Daniels
is
butler.
Cox Cable has on demand anything you need from the Sochi Olympics. They're going to make a little bit of money, but there's live.
Less ratings.
There's live plus three. There's live plus seven. If you need me to in the entertainment section, I will go over to what all these terms mean.
I want you to because I think the live plus seven is the big key there because that gets them out of their watching within the certain time frame. Right.
No, so, tell us because I don't need to
live,
watch it.
Live means what is your overnight ratings? Like the Grammys overnight ratings last night were gigantic. They were their biggest in like 21
so
years.
So then there's
those of us that DVR them and go on about our lives and watch at our leisure and fast forward through commercials, and we're called the Live Plus 3. That means you have 3 days to watch it. They still track it off your cable box, and you are live plus three. So you are.
By the way, they are tracking you off the box. So you get, when you watch something,
not every box though.
Somebody,
because you got invited to be a Nielsen. You have to be a Nielsen family. Yeah.
I was one point.
Right, so was I, and I cherish the moment that I get to be it, and I lie and I say I have children to make sure that I get in because they don't want single guys.
Oh no,
we're not their demographic. What are you going to spill now?
What have you got?
So then what they have in their live plus seven is what they base canceling shows on is like, all right, you're not interested in watching it that day. You can't even be bothered in 3 days. But in a week's time, what is it you want to watch? And they take those live plus seven numbers. And if you can like, if you double them, then they know you're watching this show. Now we just have to get some kind of a hook to get you to want to watch it
now.
A little bit sooner. We want your urgency up. So we're going to maybe put a cliffhanger in every now and then or get something. It's an advertising thing that we just don't have your urgency, but we have your viewership.
Okay.
Once you fall out of live plus seven, it doesn't matter when you watch it. No one cares.
I am so that person.
Right.
That's for how most I am too. Things.
So they're not going for you. So if we all watch the Olympics live plus seven, we all get to see it. We get to see it. You know, you have to watch a couple commercials. Right. You get to pretend you like Coca-Cola. But NBC loses all their money. And when they go to advertise, unless they take a hit.
Suck
and they
it,
have
NBC.
To say... But where are you going to go? Honestly, right. You can't even go to the south of our country. You can't go to New York with Stop and Frisk. Like, where are you going to go in the world that you're not going to find something to protest or something worthy? So you're kind of, like, fucked, and all you're doing is hurting the athletes because...
I don't think you're hurting the athletes. They're fine. They're gonna win or lose.
They're gonna win or
whether
lose.
You're watching or not.
But if
we
you
just
don't
need to
see,
be
like,
cheering
Sherman,
them on,
Sherman...
Even in our own
What's his
thing.
Name? Sherman... Jesus
Morale
Christ.
And,
from the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I think so.
Sherman.
Richard Sherman from the Seattle Seahawks.
Who, some news about him.
Right. But here's a guy who, if you watch live, you thought heat of the moment didn't matter. Nipplegate. All of a sudden, 3 days later, you're watching Janet Jackson expose her nipple 15 times in one TV
Up
show.
Close.
You're like, oh my God, this woman, all she did was expose her boob. They're like, all he did was be like this horrible person. But it was a 30-second interview taken live that everybody was like, well, okay, whatever. And everybody moved on and went on their cheese dip.
Right.
So do you see what I mean about that moment passing by? And the more you let it go, the more it turns into what other people
want to frame it as.
What they make it.
What they make it. Richard Sherman is a really decent guy that does really great things for children. He's very smart. He's very intelligent. We just stuck a microphone in his face when he was full of testosterone in the heat of the moment. But if you watch him say it over and over and over and over again on CNN, you're like, oh, my God.
Really think he's horrible.
He's crazy. He's crazy.
Right.
But I'm talking about the Olympics and the gays. I just shared something in the chat room.
I know. I got lost.
It's hysterical. You have to check it out from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my God. Heterosexuals in the Olympics.
Heterosexual
figure skating. Hilarious.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen. But what I thought was really funny, because I didn't see it on Saturday Night Live, I saw that the news used it as a news item.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And they showed it on NBC Channel 12 News, and I thought it was hysterical. That's how I saw it, and I watched the whole thing.
Because they're
funny.
Saying if we protest,
so check it
the
out.
Gays,
it's in the chat room.
My favorite part of that when they go, going for a combo. Let's see what combo he pulls out. Oh, it's actually a bag of combos.
And I love it. Oh, look, he's hurt. Nope, he just went for an up the dress shot with his phone. So my point to that is,
have you seen
so
it?
Great.
You have
I
to watch.
Not.
It is
watch it.
Really
it's so
funny.
Much fun. They don't watch anything
it
we recommend
so
to them.
So funny.
But my point to
one
that,
video. I know it's one video,
and we're going to bring it up for the third week in a row.
I now record SNL every week just in case you have to throw something at me.
But now I'm going to bring up my
and
point
Drake,
to that
Drake
last
was
story
hot.
Was. If Jason Brown has another moment like that, you don't want to be live plus seven, and you don't
Sherman?
Want. No, Jason Brown.
Oh, sorry.
The guy that is. See, no one watched. No one watched.
What is the show?
I missed that.
Oh, the
He's
the
guy that's
dancer.
Made it to the Olympics. He's the ballet dancer. He made it to the Olympics
skates.
Against all odds.
Oh, him, yes.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
He's like
and
the take skater a look boy.
At me now.
Again, and it's clearly, even though you've had 3 weeks of direction to watch the video, you haven't watched it either.
Oh, I think
the pretty
I have.
Boy.
Yeah.
There was a fat
no,
girl
he's
behind
not pretty
him.
At all.
No, he's not. He has a ponytail.
He has a ponytail.
See, I'm in.
And there's a fat lady.
I love you.
And a fat lady in the stands is excited.
Is excited. But you don't want to be the person a week later. It's like, oh, have you seen Jason Brown's triumphant video? That's the danger to live plus seven.
Totally.
You want to be me, who's like,
you be
oh my
it.
God, have you seen this person? And watch losers like you go, no, I didn't watch your link.
I just Googled.
But I love all of you.
Pardon me. I just Googled Jason Brown video. And if I may.
Yeah, please.
I may.
You sure?
This is what, I didn't Google it. I Yahooed it. Excuse me. Jason Brown monster cock.
And by look, with that nose, I feel he has a monster cocktail.
I wonder if
I'm going to watch this video first.
Yeah, I wonder if Yahoo's actually picking up on some of your search history,
there's some cookies up in there.
Your cookies are skewing your searches. But before we leave this segment in regards to Coca-Cola,
I have one other thing.
Okay, so I'm just going to finish this up now. What we were talking about, the guy who discovered, the guy who has America Blog, his name is John Aravosis. He actually uncovered another potentially anti-gay glitch in Coca-Cola's automated response system this past Monday evening. Coca-Cola has on their website something that's called a virtual agent. I just hit something and I just screwed myself. Hang on. There it is. So it's called a virtual agent, yes. And you can type in questions on the Coca-Cola's website and it will come back with responses. It's pretty much like an FAQ, you know, frequently asked questions to Coca-Cola. So it kind of is an automated response. So he actually went to the page and he says, it's where you can ask Coca-Cola a question. So he typed in the phrase, gay rights are being oppressed in Russia. What is Coca-Cola doing to speak out? And the system automatically responded, quote, that's not very classy. Let's have a polite conversation. Well, he was then suspecting that maybe a key word is what triggered the automatic response, and it may have been related to gay or lesbian or whatever. So he then entered each of the words individually. And then what happened was the system returned a response reading, that's not so nice. Let's have a private conversation. Also, I will pretend you didn't say that. I'm here to answer questions about Coca-Cola. Well, then Coca-Cola apparently got pressed on this issue and then apparently was investigating the matter in regards to the virtual agent, and they said that the tool, the logic behind the virtual agent is being looked at and is going to be scrutinized, and it's not been pulled down, but they're going to scrutinize how questions are asked of it and how it responds automatically. But according to what they're seeing right now, anytime gay, lesbian, or anything that has to do with anything controversial, it auto-responses back with something like, even if it were to auto-response back to, we're only here to talk about Coca-Cola, I would get that.
But the fact that
it's not classy, we're here to have a nice conversation.
That's not nice.
That shouldn't be the auto-response from it.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, shouldn't be.
Well, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention. I just learned about this weekend when I'm at my HRC Lilith Fair. And sponsored. Yeah.
Sure. Yes,
and they brought in lunch, right? So they served.
Because lesbians like lunch.
They do.
Sandwiches.
They're the lesbians
and potato
who
chips.
Lunch.
We were.
Aren't they a fair?
So they brought in lunch from Au Bon Pain, or however you say it. It looks like Au Bon Pain.
Au Bon Pain.
Au Bon Pain.
From the airport.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that
that's why I know them.
European?
So they brought in like box lunches and they're delicious.
It means good
and
bread.
Everyone's
wait,
enjoying
wait,
good bread.
Wait.
Yes.
Was this a lesbian conference?
It was.
And you're bringing box lunches.
I see what you did.
I think it's funny.
Oh,
wrapped in carpet. Or the occasional Afghan.
They were very Afghani.
Are there cats involved?
No, that's not right.
Go ahead. Finish your story.
What were you saying, sugar?
Judging by Dick's face, that was too much.
So someone says, while we're eating this, hey, did you guys know that they've done something very similar? So we kind of start Googling. So they've recently, in the stores, begun to offer free wireless internet for their customers, which is something that a lot of stores are doing now. And it says Manhattanites looking to read up on sexuality or reproductive issues, so it's also women's issues, online while eating at Au Bon Pain are out of luck. Someone was attempting to, they were having lunch there and they looked up glad.org. So they're looking just to, you know, some gay customer just Googling and got an error message saying the site was blocked. Then they started to kind of dig a little deeper. They tried a couple other things. They literally are just looking up gayrights.com. They're looking up HRC. They're all blocked. In addition to that.
At Au Bon Pain?
In addition to that, anything that has to do, like if you look up, try to Google about Planned Parenthood, blocked. If you're talking about, if you Googled.
Owned by Catholics, or do we know?
I don't know.
No, but now we have to Google, like, what
but
is
you
this
know what?
About?
Do you know what? So sometimes it's just that they've contracted with a filter service. The filter service decides what's right and wrong. But a lot of them have a thing where you hit the link and it says, hey, do you think this is wrong? And you send them a message and say, hey, this isn't wrong. Because I was on I was actually at Kinko's and something similar happened. And I said, what? This is ridiculous. So I sent them a thing. And 2 days later, I got a message that said, hey, you know what? We reviewed that site. You're right. That's not objectionable content. Bloop. Sorry about it.
Oh,
right.
That's
so when they come up with Planned Parenthood...
Planned Parenthood.
That tells me that somebody.
And that's it. It was women's rights.
A coffee mug. You can't spill a coffee mug.
It's the Jason Carlton. It's the Jason Carlton version.
Oh.
Sorry.
The danger. Oh, danger. Good.
No. No. But Jason Carlton is the one that taught us the I'm sick of spilling wine, so I'm now going to drink wine out of your house at a coffee cup.
Okay. You got one over here, too?
Yeah.
So anyway, just pretty crazy. It was classified as, Aubin Penn said that it was classified as pornography. They did apologize, and they're looking into it, that kind of thing.
I will Google Aubin Penn, because that shocks me.
Yeah.
They are second only to like Starbucks in every bodega on the corner as to like how you're getting your coffee and bagel in the morning. That's shocking.
Shocking. Well, Richard, I will extend the invitation. I have Wi-Fi here at the house. You are welcome at any time to not suffer through a Kinko's.
Oh, this was like 10 years ago. I was my computer had crashed or something. I don't know.
But I have Wi-Fi. If you need Wi-Fi, because I realize you're a poor, struggling artiste.
Starving student.
You're welcome to... Well, you're a little old for a student. Well,
hey.
You can go back to school
no
at any age.
No one's to be a student.
Thank you.
Look at Al. It is coming up...
Literally.
It's the end of hour one. Al. 2 and 3 hours coming ahead. The drinking word comes up in a few seconds. Also, more headlines. Then Al's got entertainment. Katie's got sports and other stuff. And Barbara will chime in with things that she thinks are fun. We'll be back in just a second right here on Q Talk America. Stay with us.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening. 8 o'clock is what the clock says on the old wall. This is Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee. That rhymed and I didn't mean it to. It is the show on Q Talk America. Thank you for joining us. To everybody in the United States, New Zealand, abroad, and all the ships at sea, we are live every Tuesday night from 7 to 10. We come to you as a world service, really, is what we are.
You're welcome.
We're analyzing everything we can, solving world problems, one drink at a time. And
Clayton, how do we know New Zealand and ships at sea? Is there something that...
I have an app on my iPad, one of the things that an iPad is useful for, and it shows me that based on their IP addresses, where they are listening from. And at this point
right
now...
New Zealand is a big fan of ours.
And this is actually only audio only. So
gotcha.
the video combination, I'm not sure I can look it up.
They're not going to see this, are they?
that's your camera, by the way, right?
I didn't bring enough wine for that.
I bet you did. We have more vodka.
Yeah, I do. Thank you.
But you're going to need more bandwidth. That's a thing.
My mother's watching, so say remember that. She has a big flat screen, though. I'm not sure what that means anyway.
I'm going to let that one go.
But it does show me that New Zealand, and they have been a repeated listener for weeks on end. We also have some friends in Australia who we are their Wednesday afternoon show. So one guy who's an artist, he paints and listens to us from there. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I enjoy the fact that we have different people around the country and world listening to us. For no other reason than the fact that they're apparently bored.
I was frankly shocked by the Aubin Penn.
I shared a link in the chat.
No, that's what I'm reading. So I'm enjoying your link, not that link. Your sausage. Your sausage that was just whipped
Move
out.
Over, butter.
Yeah.
Oh, bacon. Here's something meatier.
But Aubin Penn has apologized, and they're working on fixing it, and they honestly do not want to be part of this. And I just say it because one of the things that got them on the map is Sex in the City, because there's an episode when Sex in the City just kind of exploded and tried to like get in as many New York landmarks as they could, like when they realized that they were affecting tourism. There's an episode where someone asks Miranda, what's your life been like? She's like, Aubin Penn, work, Aubin Penn, work, Aubin Penn, you guys, Aubin Penn, and then I'm probably going home. But it was one of those things where they got like a very specific reference out of it, and I'm like, for them to be like anything against like a woman's issue or Planned Parenthood when you're taking an endorsement from Sex in the City, which dealt with women's issues regularly on a thoughtful basis, or thoughtful on a regular basis, however you want to put that sentence.
Both.
Yeah.
I was shocked to hear that, because they took an endorsement there and a name calling out from a show that was clearly about
sex in the city?
Right. But promoting women as
women having sex in
commanders and masters and commanders of their own bodies. So I was shocked to hear that. So I'm glad to hear that they're working on it.
It seems that they've learned from it.
So that's the that update up. I just saw. Yeah.
So as we always do at the beginning of hour two, well, it is time to start our drinking game, and it starts something like this.
I have a fun word. I just got to find it.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our word of the day is really a synonym for Florida. Are you ready?
Ready.
Cattywampus.
Oh. Use it in a sentence, please.
That's a good word.
She went cattywampus down the hallway.
She fell and landed with her wig just...
Cattywampus.
Have you been saving that one?
No, I just came up with it.
That's fantastic.
When you're a day of wine drinking,
there are so many things in my reminders list just based on driving drunk home, riding my bike, not driving.
Right, just riding
my
bike
drunk home from the fabulous wine bar. But cattywampus. I was going to fuck the cross-eyed lady, but I thought, oh, it's all going to go cattywampus.
Would you like to explain the cross-eyed lady?
Pussies too.
Yeah.
Do you remember that from Bette Midler?
Ugly women have pussies too.
No muff too tough. And then I thought that's horrible.
I thought it was horrible. It's actually kind of friendly in a not judgmental way.
Kind of all inclusive.
Richard, why are you sniffing your salad?
Because it might not be good.
I have found that those box lunches, the ladies' version cross-eyed cattywampus, have a certain lingering odor just at first.
Do they?
Let it
air out, exactly.
It does smell weird.
Does it?
But it looks okay.
Is there a cheese involved?
Here's my chicken.
Here is my theory. Hot plastic lettuce needs a minute to air out. I bring these salads to work all the time, and I do find that you just need to let the plastic hot lettuce.
I thought someone had farted.
That's what I thought too.
I'm so glad when he said, "Why are you sniffing?" Because I was doing head. I'm like, "What's happening?"
And
right
I
now?
Have our vanilla cream candle working overtime.
Who was it?
We're gonna need a bigger candle.
By
process of elimination, it was you in my head. Since we've all been together for weeks on end,
yeah,
this has never happened before.
And so I got to wash my hands.
This is so sad for you right now.
But today, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, Mark Martinez, who might be listening, but. Somebody farted on the outdoor patio at
and it was just you
Postino,
two?
And I was like, Nelly, you might want to look at your digestive choices.
Okay.
But I don't think it was him.
Was it you two only on the porch?
No, there was a lot of people and a lot of food going by, so it could have been a fungus.
So again,
cattywampus.
Cattywampus, thank you. That's our drinking word. Well, if you watch...
Even Barbara approves.
Well, of course she does, because Barbara is cattywampus. There she is. Well, if you were part of the nearly 30 million people watching as they exchanged rings and said, I do, and became married couples, you were watching the Grammy Awards last Sunday night.
I cried.
Well, two people.
I have to admit, I cried too.
I haven't watched it yet. It's still, I'm going to be the plus.
Then we'll go watch it afterwards.
I've got it on the DVR in the other room.
I'll put a link in the chat room.
Oh, won't that be exciting? Brittany Pennington and sadly named Sally Beaver were married at the Grammy Awards on Sunday.
Hold on. Wait.
What?
From the top there, please. Because yeah. I thought you said something else.
It all went cattywampus during your reading.
Oh, two brides-to-be, Brittany Pennington and her sadly... Sally Beaver.
Okay.
Oh.
We're married at the Grammy Awards
on
Sunday.
That's not Kenny Wampus. That's her given name.
That's her given name. They were married on Sunday in front of the show's second largest television audience since 1993. Oddly, from Arizona, right here in Mesa, Arizona, and I'm sure the Mormons are thrilled, the couple met at Mesa Desert Ridge High School and fell in love and have been together for nearly...
High school sweethearts, if you will.
They've been together for 3 years. When the two saw a vaguely written casting call for a group wedding, they submitted their information and were eventually invited to take part in the ceremony. Only later did they find out that the wedding was going to be performed at the Grammys by Queen Latifah. So not only am I marrying someone who's my best friend, she said... One who's who I'm completely in love with, but also we've had the support from people we've looked up to our entire lives. Beaver and Pennington. We're joined by
the law firm of Beaver and Pennington. Yeah. Who've gone cattywampus due to the use of beaver in their title.
They were joined as well as 32 other couples, gay, straight, young, old, interracial, all married, as rapper Macklemore and producer Ryan Lewis performed their award-winning marriage equality anthem called Same Love. And the funny, this was interesting. When I think of the moment I want to break down, Pennington said, it's beautiful. Makes me want to cry. We started walking down the aisle and all the celebrities stood up. Katy Perry, Paul McCartney, country singers, everyone was crying.
That's so fucking cool.
Oh, no.
It was so touching.
The one that got me and the one that, and I know he's a loving person. I enjoy his voice. I actually buy quite a few of his records. He's married to Nicole Kidman and
Keith Urban.
Urban. Was not just wiping away an emotional tear. He had a tear-streaked face cut to him.
Openly bawling.
He was openly bawling. It was one of the most moving things on television I've ever seen. I don't know what you're talking about. But
I haven't seen
I just
it.
Took this off cattywampus.
No, but my favorite my part of this this line, this quote is, and when I see it, I'm sure it will be lovely. I have nothing. But it's funny that she actually names Katy Perry, Paul McCartney, country singers. She didn't have any fucking idea who any of the country singers are, but apparently they were also moved at this. Queen Latifah did officiate the wedding of the couples, and she started by saying, "We are gathered here to celebrate love and harmony in every key and every color." Latifah said as she commenced the ceremony, "As I look out on this audience, I'm delighted to see the faces of 33 couples who've chosen this moment to celebrate their vows here with us in Los Angeles and everyone watching around the world as witnesses." I'm sure it's fantastic. I will see it.
It was truly one of my favorite moments. I'm just going to interrupt you because I have to say it was one of my favorite moments on TV. I'm so glad I was watching on delay. I was live plus like 2 hours. I cannot express to you like... Everything was and I always talk about the tone of things and how, like, tonally they're not on the right page or they keep switching.
It wasn't exploitive. It wasn't freak show.
Everything
it was a blip on the radar, was it?
Perfect. He came out and sang his song.
And he did it very well.
Mary Lambert.
Yeah.
Do I have her name right?
Stunning and
fabulous. Came out and sang beautifully. And then, who obviously got her Marnie Ryer. I'll say her name right in honor of this. Marsha got her. Her license, what's that called? When you get your minister
ordained.
License,
yeah,
ordained.
Right.
She was ordained to be a minister. She actually got to say, by the powers vested in me by the state of California.
Right.
And then I got to give it up. And I know there's a lot of bashing going on, and I know everyone thinks that you're not allowed to bash Madonna around me because I'm always going to defend her, but.
I won't have it.
Madonna
came out clearly
injured. There's clearly something Madonna's not telling us about her hip, and it wasn't the time.
I'm thinking just a walking stick?
Hip or knee. I'm thinking hip or knee was wrong. She was clearly not herself because she moves more. I'm just saying that Madonna's very rarely still in her... She very rarely stands still.
I thought she was poignant and on
point. I do, too. No, I do, too. I think she was very on point. I think the fact that she allowed someone to rework her song to sound like their song, and she sang... And she's not a live singer. She didn't sing at the Rock. She's the only person that's ever never sang at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She sang live. And I have to give her all
and
kinds of props.
And she sounded good. She really did.
She sounded good. She sang her own song.
I thought she... No,
she
I was
sounded
actually
as good
surprised.
As Madonna could...
That's not true, but...
Right, but I think she sounded as good... I think there was a health issue, hip or knee-wise. I think that Kane had a purpose.
I don't.
I'm just saying. She looked a little bit like she'd been on some... maybe some medications for an inflammatory disease. I thought she looked... She's someone who's usually very gaunt and looks very healthy in her age, and she looked a little unhealthy to me, personally.
What's the age of Madonna?
She's 55. 50.
Okay.
Yeah, she's but she always looks good, and she looked appropriate. She was appropriate. She lended her song to someone else's thing. She didn't steal the spotlight. I thought she was note for note perfect. I thought everyone in that was just as touching as it could be. And when they said... Straight and gay couples
of
everything,
neat.
And the two black boys. What broke me down and what got me every time, and they focus on. They were right behind the Arizona couple. So the Arizona
News. Yeah,
because
it's cool that you saw the Arizona couple. I'm like looking at their picture.
But the two black guys behind them are bawling uncontrollably. Yeah. They are clearly in the moment of
Macklemore
and Ryan.
Ryan Lewis. Let's talk about this a little bit more because.
By the way, the chat link is fixed on the QTalkAmerica.com.
Join us.
So join us in the chat room if you couldn't find it any other way. Go ahead, Richard. Continue.
Did the Grammys, was it CBS?
CBS.
Yes.
Did the Grammys.
The Tiffany Network
who actually let this happen, which is another interesting thing.
The most conservative of the three. Yes,
right.
Did they do this because, hey, we know, because now it's the second highest, is it to bring people in? Or is it literally because, hey, music changes people's minds?
Oh, music changes people's minds.
Do you really think that?
I think that completely.
I hope so.
I honestly think that everyone involved, including Madonna, who's been one of the greatest gay advocates
early,
of my lifetime.
Early.
When it was not fashionable.
Could have killed her.
Jinx, fuck you.
It's really super fatty, fashionable now.
No, I mean, we're going to argue about who's the biggest Madonna
Totes
fan later.
Goats.
When back in the day when she was that way, that could have stopped her career.
Oh, it easily.
Oh, no, you're right. You're totally
easily
right.
Easily could have.
Well, many things she did could have ultimately
but
stopped
she
her
went,
career.
Like she went
with that
gay.
Hot athletic, what's it, Carlos was her trainer?
Oh, but this, we're talking like a decade prior. Like,
oh,
she went,
Carlos.
She went gay. She went
going
gay
to the hot Mexican.
At Live AIDS. Mm-hmm. I mean, she went pro-gay.
Late 80s.
Right.
Early. Oh, wow. I'm going to say like 86. I'm gonna hitch up with 86.
Those are the later years of the 80s.
So, but I'm talking like.
Remember the 80s? That's the later part.
I'm going to say second album. What I'm saying is like for her, second album, play it safe, maybe not be controversial. And this woman has been on our team. And I honestly will never turn off a Madonna song, even if I've never heard it, which is like the last two albums. I'm on this woman's side. And I thought it was so respectful and such a tribute to her and to them. And to Queen Latifah, whatever she's pushing.
Okay, that's the other thing. So that's the other thing I wanted to talk about was why her? Why not an openly gay person?
Hmm. Well, Adam Lambert wasn't available. I don't know.
Or why not someone who's – there's not such ambiguity about their
– Ellen.
But
I mean, just – I'm just saying. But no, I know she's not a singer.
Because wasn't there for the longest time
like
a rumor
another
in regards to Queen Latifah that she was
constant
a lesbian?
Constant.
But, and has that been
and
disputed?
And her personal trainer. But Queen Latifah, I think, is on that same page as like the recently outed Brian Boitano, all these people where she's not out and not in. She
but
doesn't
she's always
deny
been
anything
supportive. I mean, in she won't come out, but in her
but
in her
it,
like current allied status, right? She's supportive and she's
but I loved
so
her
beautiful.
Same key, same color, same. I mean, everything she said was so spot on that. It, just,
it was joyous.
What I have
the
to
way,
say about
the way she introduced
right,
it,
the
it
way,
was joyous.
And I have to say, and I because I had the same thought, like, why are we going with someone who may or may not be in the closet? But when she said, same note, same color, same key, same this, mm-hmm. same that, I'm like, you know what? We don't have to be out or in. This woman's on our team.
Right.
Her personal life is maybe irrelevant because she is standing up. And I think what stood up for all of us and what we need, like Obama, is the black community, which is our last ally. And I think in 08, when I was voting, my thought about Obama was, I really am hesitant about backing someone who's black and religious because they are traditionally not our allies.
Not our ally,
they're
right.
the ones that got that
that helped Prop
8. Squashed the marriage of
that's
men in Illinois.
Wrong.
And Prop 8. And Prop 8.
So my thought
cattywampus, if you will.
Yes, and I will drink to that.
Drink to that.
So what I'm thinking is, now we have a rap singer or a rap artist. And now there was a big thing about can he win a rap artist because
so
he's
annoying.
White.
It's racist.
So then I'm like, it is
it's
racist.
Making me
so
feel
then are
crazy.
You saying that black people can't win pop artists? Like, is that because if you say that they can't, if white people can't win that, then you have to say that black
well,
people.
Well, and that's the thing is they're going, it's so racist. And I'm like, no, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's
actually
what you're doing.
Is you're like bringing race into it.
You're bringing race into it. So you have a rap artist. Sorry. You have a rap artist. You have one of the most respected black women, I think, in the entertainment industry. Correct me if I'm wrong. I may be.
She's wonderful.
Latifah.
Yeah. Yeah. Academy Award nominee. You have her on our side. Now you have Madonna coming out. Now you have all these people. Now you have country legends who are, I will put Keith Urban in that place of like nearly
totally
a legend, standing up and crying like, we're getting the team together. We're getting people where this is not an issue anymore. I thought it was one of the TV's greatest moments.
Okay, so a couple of my takes on it.
Thank you.
I also really liked it. It was really great to watch it with Kelly. She was really super moved. I mean, she was crying and you know, she comes at it from a little bit of a different perspective. She just loves that song, but she really And I know we've talked about it in this room before, and I can kind of
like
Kelly,
Kelly,
kind of be safe in saying this, is that I didn't have that like deep inner struggle of I couldn't change if I wanted to, even if I tried. Like, I didn't have that struggle. I didn't go through that. But Kelly did. Like, she desperately did not want to be gay when she was young. She quit all sports. She, because she was like, those athletes are lesbians, and that's not what I want.
That's not what I want.
And so she...
How'd this all work out for her?
Well, it's going well now, I hope. I mean, we'll ask her, I don't know, next weekend.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Sure. She'll be on the show.
But so for her, that was part of it. Like, she just loves the song. And so to hear Mary Lambert singing it live and to see all these couples, like, getting married. And she was really very, very moved by it. And it was beautiful. I thought Madonna... one of the things I thought was interesting is E! News, when they were doing like the red carpet review.
Yeah, I saw that. She wouldn't quite.
Well, yeah. And it was funny because they're like, I mean, we don't know if we like it, but shit, it's Madonna. So bitch is allowed to wear whatever she wants and look great. And it was just kind of funny. They're like, and she looks great.
And they said, why did she have the wrist thing? Why did she have the glove and the cane? And I'm telling you, from someone who has seen people on NSAIDs, there's a hip or a knee injury. And there's a point where I made Doug watch like 1500 times. I'm like, watch her try to shuffle right to hug somebody, and you can see her face be like,
see,
fuck you, I can't
that was
move
my
that
problem.
Way.
I actually thought you couldn't see her face do anything. I think there's too much work happening. Like,
there is.
It was way
there's such a no-win situation for her and for any woman like that.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Too much work, and you're like, oh, she's got too much work.
Not
no
enough work,
work,
and she's old.
And what's wrong?
And haggard.
But let's have a private Madonna moment over here. Madonna is known for being really, really, really fit, and her face always has the look of someone who's way too in shape. Because they always
say, when you're super fit,
put
and
on
you're
a
so,
little bit
yeah,
of weight, and you're going to puff out your cheeks like I do, and your skin's going to look a little bit better because you're a little fatter, and so you're going to fill in with fat.
Is that right? Your way of sliding into your fit?
Yeah. Okay, no, it's what I'm fat. I was like, that's my way of sliding into I'm fat.
It's just why I wanted
to
eat.
No, but it's the face thing is called.
It's true.
It's called fit or fat. If you're really fit, you're going to look a little bit gaunt because you're thin,
and if you're fat, you really look great.
Issue, and this is a woman. Singing wise, say what you want to. She has her faults. But movement, exercise, dance, yoga, this woman's in fucking shape.
Yeah.
So for
her
to flinch as she moved right and look a little puffy in the face, my guess was there's an injury. I'm just saying. I just want to throw it out there.
But it was still really great to have her come out. I loved the way she sang.
And with one of my favorite songs that she changed, Open Your Heart to Me.
She actually sang it that way on the last tour.
But she sang it in their tune. She sang it to the tune of.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But the way she sang it on this last tour was the same way. She sang it that way. She had slowed it down, and she sang it in that very like plaintive, like softer, more vulnerable way.
But she sang it in their
key
rhythm. Yeah. Not just their key, but their rhythm, kind of like
cadence.
What's Gaga's song?
I need to go
song?
Watch it again.
What's Gaga's song?
Born This Way.
That's really. That's really express yourself. She just changed the lyrics. She made the lyrics fit. Same love. That's what I'm saying.
I would imagine that they must have seen her in that and said, hey, you know what? This would jibe with this.
Oh no, I agree. I
don't think that Madonna said, hey, I want to be in this. I just can't imagine. Would Madonna do that?
No, but I
don't know.
I think they would send out the invitation.
Absolutely.
Like,
it was a good mix. I didn't think there was anything weird about it. Like
the lyrics of
Open
Your Heart.
I just want to address the negativity that came out with how she looked. And I thought that was shitty.
And so even beyond how she looked, the negativity, and a friend of mine, I was with this friend, mommy friend at the park today, and she's so funny. And she's literally who tells me, she's like, you're the only gay person I know. And it's very, very funny to me. And she's very sweet and asks questions, and she's very open. Her husband is like a hunting guy. And it makes me happy that I'm getting to know her husband a little bit better, and he's getting to know Kelly and I and our daughter. Because he's one of those guys that is like just anti-gay just because it's what you do. And so it's great to kind of be getting to have a little bit of relationship.
Well, he has to reevaluate his opinions.
Yes, exactly. Because I'm not like a horrible, I'm not all cattywampus in my normal day-to-day life. Bing.
Cattywampus.
So, but my point is talking afterward this morning, and she was saying, isn't it so great that, you know, there's so much, you know, acceptance, and it was on CBS, and it's so exciting. And I thought, gosh, but yeah, that was great. But also, did you see all of the negativity on Twitter and
Facebook?
That's
what I was waiting for, because I looked that up. How seconds.
Awful.
Seconds.
Oh, and Fox News, awful. It never happened. Fox News has like the top five Grammy moments. They have the top five this. As far as FoxNews.com is concerned, it never happened.
Oh, which is weird. Because
the marriage has never happened?
That whole performance.
That whole performance. That is not in their list. They don't even mention it.
How can
it.
That not be the tough
I think it was
things.
HuffPost that I found where it's like, and the hate begins. And it was like, bam, 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 bam.
And what was weird to me is that people were calling it, okay, so I know a lesbian that said, I don't understand. It was actually Keela, DJ Keela, said, why didn't they show the kisses? Like, they didn't really show people kissing. And she was kind of like, you know, that sucks. Like, they should have shown that. And so,
but she didn't say, Latifah didn't say, now you may kiss your
she
spouse.
Didn't.
She said exchange your rings,
which is appropriate for prime time. I get it, and it's fine.
Not but just I'm appropriate, saying, but it's the symbol of the marriage.
Right, but here's
I think.
Like the two extremes. Like, so we have one person who was saying, you know, and Keela was saying it was beautiful and it was lovely. I just wish they would have shown a kiss. And then you have, which, so it was so to the like average watcher, there was nothing sexual about it. There was nothing like grotesque. There is nothing invasive.
But there is nothing sexual about a marriage.
But everyone's saying online, a lot of the haters going, it was fucking disgusting and fuck this and fucking family values. And
I was watching until the faggot started singing. Yeah. That was one of the that was one of the tweets that went out.
There was a lot of
really
disgusting, gross, disgusting, disgusting, gross. And I'm like, how is that?
Okay, no.
The kissing, I could see if you saw like a homosexual couple on TV kissing, you might go, if you really are that hateful, that can be maybe disgusting to you.
It wasn't just all gay couples. It was couples.
It was, right. Yeah.
Every
straight,
time.
Gay, interracial.
They pissed off everybody. So you know, and I think we talked about this last week.
They were all cattywampus is what they did.
Yeah, exactly. With the Joel Ratner thing that we were talking about. It doesn't matter what you're reading. And it could be, I think I said this last week. If I didn't say it out loud, then I meant to. That you could be reading a story on the internet of a nun saves a cat from a tree and
three
post number five
right,
is
yes.
Obama's
that was two
a
weeks
Nazi
ago. Yeah.
And you're all racist pigs here. And the N-word comes up.
And I it bet does, the nun so, hates gays.
And it honestly it, yeah. does not matter what you're talking
you're
about.
You're right, that's
so
right.
To,
People troll chat rooms and comments just to
do that.
Just on Twitter. This is like people's initial responses.
But that's everything. And we talked about that with Obama's inauguration and his win in 2012 and 2008.
Right.
But what I'm saying is you have to factor in 30 million people, which for TV today is a gigantic audience.
Big. Right. That's a lot.
Like the people that are watching the Duck Fuckers are down like 25%, but the Grammys are up. And so what they did was they put marriage and they were very smart. They didn't do just all lesbians, all gays. They did interracial. So you're going to piss off everybody. If you think you're going to get hateful comments, you're putting lesbians together, gays together, interracials together.
People that watch Duck Dynasty.
Right.
You're interracial gays.
Interracial
that
gays.
That was also happening.
So right. Why would you not think comment number three was going to be
fucking gross, hate right, these people.
Right. Yeah.
And you just have to accept now, like you can't look beyond comment number three and expect that to be a social commentary that's for real.
Right. It was
because
upsetting.
Social comment number three. It is upsetting, but all you have to do is go read a story about the firefighters dying in
you're right.
in northern Arizona.
And Obama
and
actually
comment
did that.
Number three is Obama set them on fire. I mean, just and I'm not even making that up.
I know,
it may take till comment number six, but I'm not kidding.
Right. Yeah. My query.
Oh, a query.
A query.
I'm cattywampus. You're used to the European.
Now, with regards to the fact that this was the Tiffany Network, CBS, home, you know, all, blah, 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 blah. My question is, did CBS come out with any statement that said anything in regards to we don't sanction, we don't do, or was CBS just like, we're
okay,
done.
Now they stay silent, and I'm going to give you two and things about the Tiffany Network. Because the Tiffany Network is the home of Two and a Half Men, Two Broke Girls, Mom, which I watch. I don't watch the other ones, but I watch Mom. This is the network of masturbation and sex
what's the
jokes.
Other, what's their other big... The
Mac and Molly, no, Mike and Molly.
No, but the other one, the Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Big Brother. The this house is, that had that fucktard that was in the house that
right.
was...
Right. All
everybody.
Racism.
Right.
Horrible. This is the home of shows that just deal in toilet and masturbation humor. They do... The Tiffany Network is, no longer has a high road to stand on.
Okay.
So they stayed somewhere between... They're not ABC. They're not owned by Disney. They don't have a theme park they want you to go to. But CBS stays somewhere between tolerant and we're just going to ignore you. That's where they draw the line. They never draw the line. But they have never said, we're going to support Big Brother because they're racist and we're going to keep them on the air because they read a Bible. They're like, they're fucking morons. I'm not allowed to say retards anymore, so I have to go with fucking morons.
Why are you not here?
I know, but I have agreed that fucking morons is the right equivalent. These fucking morons, and they will say, they're fucking morons. We're not on board. So CBS has no moral high ground to stand on
anymore.
When 2.5 Men is 30 minutes of masturbation jokes.
Yeah, true. I don't see anything.
So they didn't really come out with any statement official in regards to the Grammys.
Well, that's because the whole thing wasn't. It wasn't scandal. Truly some people want to make it to be. Right,
No. I agree. I just figured that in this era of everybody being PC and everybody releasing a comment or a statement.
CBS.
Yeah. Moonves would have come out and said.
And I think with it being the Grammys and the way that music has always spoken to change and spoken to things before they're happening, and the way that music affects change, that it was the perfect venue for it. It was the perfect setting. Absolutely.
Could not agree more. And I want to say that it was brought up in 03, 04, that as only the Dixie Chicks were the only people, like, literally fighting George Bush, where are the protest songs to this war? Like, why is music not taking... And they were...
It's a good point.
So the point was, if you were reading the fanboy pages, they were saying there are no labels anymore. No one can sell music in 03, 04. It was really the dark ages of music. And now what do you have to answer to that? Macklemore and Lewis... Macklemore and Ryan.
Ryan Lewis.
Yeah,
Ryan
Lewis. Right.
They did not have a label. They are a YouTube sensation, sans label. I'll use the French. They are Kenny Wampus to the record industry. They made their mark based on YouTube and an underground following and fanship that turned into record sales and a Grammy. They had no label. They could. They recorded a song about a thrift shop, same love. They weren't looking to generate controversy. They were just putting things online that spoke to their personal lives. And from what I understand, this is not based on any
carnal knowledge.
In interviews with these two, that Macklemore wanted to write a song about same-sex marriage, and he wanted to write the song from the perspective of a bullied person talking about same love. And Ryan Lewis said to him, "It's just fake. Why would you? What about this makes you want to write this song?" And he says, "My uncle is gay." And I thought I was gay, and Ryan Lewis told him, there's
your song.
There's your story.
You have
to write about it from that point of view. Don't try to invent something. Write about it from your experience. And I thought that's what moved me the most when I heard it.
I agreed. I mean, the best songs come from legitimate
stories. From your
personal
experience.
Absolutely. You can't just make
it up. The entertainment section just got like
half as long. Well, stand by because I hope to God you're ready to go. Here we are!
Entertainment!
Oh my God, there's so much. The Grammys happened, but we've talked that to death.
Death.
The Directors Guild Awards happened. I hit the wrong button on my computer, and I'm now looking at a porn site.
Shocker.
I'm listening.
Directors Guild, movie
Back
reviews.
In.
Pitch Perfect Part 2.
Part 2.
Dos.
Has a director, and it's a shocking revelation of goodness.
I love it.
Just write out the theme music, Al. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't have a lot.
I'm going to get a drink. You start entertainment.
Oh, please. You don't listen anyway, so why is that not perfect?
No. I enjoy your entertainment section. I even know some of what's going on.
So I have to say that our first story starts on, and I forgot to mention in the headlines because I just found out, but Pete Seeger, who is a folk music institution, died today. And he was 94.
I can't believe he was that old.
How old did you think he was?
I thought he was like 70s.
I didn't even know who he was, to be totally honest. Like, I saw it, that he died, and people are like, oh, that's so sad, and this is a legend. Oh, not to me.
One of the voices of, as we were talking about protest songs, he was one of the defining voices, the white voices of the civil rights movement. And he sang We Shall Overcome, and it just became one of the most influential songs of that era. And he did Good Night, Irene. He did If I Had a Hammer. He did There is a season, turn.
Oh, yeah,
turn,
I like that song.
Which is Christian, which if you think about it, he was always coming at it from the Christians were always saying, like, racism and segregation are a good thing, and he kept turning religion on their head and being like, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, good.
Not the part you're doing. And then This Land Is Your Land is one of his most favorite wrap-ups. But he died today, and he was a huge influence on people like Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen. There are countless people that count Pete Seeger as an influence. And I want to say it was the Grammys a couple years ago, or one of the award shows just brought him out and let him just play for a little while. And everyone was appreciative. And
was he 94? Did you say that?
94 years old.
Good life.
Yeah,
A good life and filled with positive messages, which is our follow up for the question later in the.
And I'm going to guess he may have been a toker. Just a guess. I'm going to throw it out there.
Perhaps a midnight smoker. So for the Grammys, I have to say that last week on Real Time with Bill Maher, which is back on air. Willie Nelson was the last guest that they bring out for the last 10 minutes to just have a little give and take and have interact with everybody.
With Willie Nelson.
And so Bill Maher did a whole thing about all the new Colorado dispensaries, and every dispensary that they had a Zagat's Guide to Colorado dispensaries.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And every single dispensary had in Bill Maher and Woody Harrelson are here. I didn't even know they were Jewish. It was just hysterical. So they said to Willie Nelson, you're performing at the Grammys this weekend. Congratulations to you. You're not winning anything, but you're just celebrating a life with Kris Kristofferson, Merle Haggard, and the guy from The Voice. Blake Shelton?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Big drunk. So
you or Blake?
Blake, both. Okay. So they said, you know, one of Merle Haggard's biggest songs is Okie from Muskogee and I Don't Smoke Weed. And he's like, so? And Willie Nelson's like, oh, he's a fucking liar. And Bill Maher was like, we got to play to the bass. He's like, that's exactly what he was doing. Like, he was smoking pot with me while singing a song about not smoking pot. So beautifully realized.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
That's it. That's exactly it. Emmys.
That's good.
I've been there. Thank you.
Very good.
So,
the Muskogee,
To start our Emmy award thing. No. Shut up.
Our Emmy award thing.
Let's just call that a cattywampus situation. I'm going to drink and get it together.
Do you have a bell? Don't you have your own bell? Where's your bell?
He moved it closer to him.
Oh, well, you can move it back closer to you. He has his bell. We all have bells.
I have my own bell. Where's your bell? Your bell's right here.
You moved it when you took my wine glass.
No, when you spilled your wine.
I took your wine glass out of fear. Okay, so in the spirit of the awards season, which it's not the real awards, but the Emmy Awards have announced when they will air. NBC is hosting them because the all four networks... Well,
they rotate it.
They rotate it to make sure that everyone is fair and no one gets more, you know, so that the commercials can reflect what they're showing.
All right.
So this year it's NBC, and NBC has made the decision that they won't wait until September, until the new season has started. They will do preseason Emmy Awards, and they will be announced on Monday. They're going with the Oscars rule. They don't want to interrupt the biggest night of television for sales, second biggest night. If you've listened before, you know that Thursday night is really when they sell advertisement. But Sunday night is higher ratings, viewership, lower money, but a big deal. Sunday night's a big deal.
Okay.
So they've taken the Oscars night over and they've moved to Monday, and it's in August. And that's the big news from the Emmys this year, is they're going to be more focused on this season. So you won't think, oh, that show's already been canceled.
Yeah, when
was it's not
that?
Even on. Right. Like, right. So the Emmys have moved, and it's a big deal, and the August 25th thing is a big thing. It's less time to campaign, and it makes sure that the blue ribbon panel, as they call them, for the Emmys watches their shows. And it's, you know, the Emmys really, 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 honest to God, did do their research this year and not just vote, just make everything that won last year the same way.
Could you chew more into the
yeah, I can.
Mic, babe?
No, my question for you is, and I think I emailed you a story about this today. When you listen to how you ate your salad. So then talk to me then, bitch.
Bitch!
Thank you.
I think he's talking to me.
I am. Yeah, Barbara, I am. Sure. Yeah. They moved the Emmys from a Sunday to a Monday. So the broadcast is actually on a Monday.
Yes. They're always live. The Emmys have always been live.
But they've always been on Sunday.
Because Sunday night is bigger ratings, and that's the Oscars were always on Monday in an old, old deal from the 50s to make sure that the Oscars never interfered with weekend box office.
Oh.
So they got their weekend box office, and they got their numbers, even when no one paid attention to weekend box office. And then the Oscars were on Monday, and then the Oscars watched the Golden Globes and were like, the Golden Globes are going up and we're going down. What's the difference? And they're like, well, you broadcast on Monday nights.
And we put wine at the table.
It's live LA time, which means that you're 3 hours later in New York, which means the Oscars don't end in New York till almost 1 in the morning.
Right.
The Oscars in New York are a chore. The Oscars in Arizona are like,
nothing.
It's 10 o'clock. I could go to bed now and get up at 4. And
have some queso.
Lovely, right. So that was the big deal about them switching. So now I think this is kind of a trend. Now that everybody's up in the awards, the Golden Globes are getting more ratings, the Grammys are getting more ratings, I think everyone's going to switch to Monday nights in honor of the movie industry and stay out of the weekend.
Okay.
The other thing with the weekend thing is that this winter has been so horrible that everyone's box office is suffering because no one's leaving the house.
Nobody can go.
If you're not on Netflix, we're not going.
Right.
So they're losing huge movie markets. Boston, New York, and Washington are just decimated. And a lot of movies just aren't making the money that they would be making if people could actually get to a movie theater in a timely fashion. So we'll go on to the Everything Academy Awards, because it's always the Academy Awards, always, all the time, and it's the most important.
It's a wonderful day for Oscar. Oscar, Oscar.
Oscar, Oscar, who will win? Now, in a surprise to absolutely no one, but really is throwing goldderby.com and those of us that follow this and want to know all the answers and win our...
Are you and I the only ones that are into this?
So I'm pretty much talking to you.
Are they...
No, she came over.
Out?
Yeah, Clayton shows up and eats, and she comes over and drinks, so everybody's fine.
Yeah, no, it was good, and I am excited about it for this year, but I don't kind of do the weeds.
It's not
I don't
a mental
dive as
illness.
Deep here.
No one does.
Quite as asked.
No one does. It's a mental
illness.
I like
illness. Hope I see all the movies up for Best Picture. I'm like, oh, I hope I can see those.
That's a great goal.
Well, that's a lot.
That's a lot of movies.
That's a lot of commitment.
Because they say an average American sees 4 movies a year.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Jesus. Kelly goes to 1 to 2 a week. So yeah. I really should have some better.
So clearly I'm friends with the wrong part true. Of the Palmer's
The average
parents,
American must see more than that. Then I am so below average because I don't see 4 movies in 4 years. Maybe.
He's friends with me.
I mean, the last movie I went to the theater and saw was Argo.
You saw Lincoln
Argo,
after
fuck
that.
Yourself.
You're right, I saw Lincoln. You're right,
I saw
Lincoln.
Okay, so,
God damn it, are you stalking me?
No, but I know what movies you see.
All right.
I keep track. So the Directors Guild of America and the Producers Guild of America, I think have both been held since our last time, but I think the Producers Guild, we talked about last year. The Producers Guild was a first ever tie, and they do the same voting system as the Academy Awards, and it was Gravity and 12 Years a Slave. And the Academy has come out and said, absolutely no way we have a scientific factor to make sure that mathematically...
There's no tie.
There's no tie in Best Picture. There can be a tie in every other thing, but the fucked up way that they do the voting, which we'll talk about later privately, how they do the voting for Best Picture is so bizarre and so fucked up.
Isn't it weighted?
It's weighted.
Okay.
And the only other people that do it are the Producers Guild. So usually when the Producers Guild gets announced... You're like, there it is.
That's who's going to win.
So then the Producers Guild comes out and you think, well, director and Best Picture almost always go hand in hand.
But who won for director?
We're going to get there in a minute.
Oh, thank you.
Director's Guild only...
Getting really excited.
Right. Only varies from the director of the best director at the Oscars like 7 times in like 70 years. And they usually go together. But this last decade has been particularly poor for director and picture going together. Who wins? No surprise to anyone, Alfonso Cuarón, Children of Men.
We saw this together,
Children of
and
Men.
I was not moved.
I was astounded, and I saw it 3 more times that week. Gravity.
In 1 week?
Oh,
the
I'm
movie
sorry.
Is Gravity.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In the same week,
I saw Gravity 4 times in 1 week. I could not get enough of it.
I couldn't believe that after we left that it was only like 88 minutes or whatever the fuck
90,
it is.
90 minutes to the second.
Because I thought... I had lost a year of my life.
Oh.
Wow.
And I was moved beyond, but I love him. Like, I go in, like, when he makes a movie very rarely. So, when Alfonso Cuarón, and I've been telling you all to watch. I've been telling you all to watch Children of Men. I know none of you have.
Yes, that I have not watched.
But I have given you instructions. So, last night I took my own advice, and I watched Children of Men, and the movie remains an astounding accomplishment.
I'm going to write that down right now. I'm going to write that down.
I have to tell you, it's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
OF.
So Alfonso Cuarón wins, but absolutely everyone agrees that a movie with three people.
That's what I keep saying.
Will never win Best Picture.
Because of all the actors.
And I do have to agree with you because the acting branch is the biggest branch of the Academy. And so something that only employed three people as actors is never going to win.
Before you continue on with this, I want to welcome, we have the United States listening, New Zealand, Kuwait, and Australia has
come. Good day, man.
Excuse me. Kuwait? Actually, Austria, not Australia.
Oh, but Tomo Austria. Was on. Tomo was on, and I can't remember if he's New Zealand. So New Zealand was the
Okay, so New Zealand is here.
Kuwait.
Like, Kuwait's what's always, up, Kuwait? Kuwait's always
been
here.
They've been listening for weeks.
So, hey, Kuwait.
We're sorry to keep you. Kuwaiting.
Oh, there's that.
So really, when you come over, if you're invited, Marnie, sorry, if you're invited to the Academy Awards party, Barbara, you have first refusal. Your spot will be held until you say no.
Thank you. No.
All right.
I can.
Fairly open. I just have to say, Best Picture is the only race I think that's completely up in the air. I think everything else is locked down solid.
Did you see the Daily Beast today with their hatchet job on American Hustle?
No, but I read I did read one of the reviewers that I like talks about too much improvisation and why the script of American Hustle doesn't hold up, and I have to disagree with him because I think the script of American Hustle was genius.
I loved that movie.
I loved it.
I honestly do want to see it. I want to see that and Dallas Buyers Club.
But I have to tell you, my dark horse favorite and the one that I hope everybody splits the vote and wins, and it's my favorite movie of this year, and I can't believe it because I have never been a fan of this man. I have never,
don't
ever,
say
ever.
Her.
No, but I love that. I have never been a fan of this man. I've always been on a relationship with Martin Scorsese. I thought The Wolf of Wall Street was 3 solid hours of entertainment. And if you tell me it's on video, it's on the drive-in, if we're just going to watch it on a box, I will watch. I laughed my ass off for 3 solid hours.
I found out today that that movie, the word fuck, is in that movie 506 times.
Yes, it's allegedly the record holder for the most
times. No, they said that they count, that it's been counted.
But whether or not it holds the record for the most F-bombs is what's debatable. But yes, they did count it.
So, because I was thinking, the question came up, and it was on a radio, the station that you hate. The question was, are you in a work environment wherein swearing or cursing is predominant? And that was what they were talking about. And they brought up that point, was the fact that the Wolf of Wall Street.
Let me tell you, the F-bomb is predominant.
I would think so.
We work in bars a lot, and I mean, fuck is just it's just everybody's fuck this, fuck that.
Do you know what? I never thought that it was a truly great movie or that it could be a Best Picture until two scenes. Spoiler alert, because most of it's a true story. The scene on the ship, I did not see any of that coming, and I thought it was beautifully shot.
Which scene? Describe the scene on the ship. The party or the...
Yeah, not the party, where everything goes, where there's, well, the ship goes down.
Oh, right. Oh, yes.
That I did not see coming, and it was shot with just, I couldn't believe how great that scene looked.
Beautifully shot.
Wait, which film? I'm sorry.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh.
That's my personal favorite to Dark Horse its way to the Best Picture.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Not to be confused with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Yeah. Totally
Quaalude
different.
Scene. The Quaalude scene was...
brilliant.
It really was.
Here's what I saw happen. Here's what I think happened. And then here's...
And then you see what happened.
What happened. It and was, that is everyone's version
of it. I had a moment.
It. Right. Everyone has had that moment of like, here's what I thought last night was about. And then here's
and
what
then
all
you
my
realize
friends
it comes
just told me
to
last
like,
night was about.
I thought the movie was great. Kelly and I both really enjoyed it. And I am not one for gratuitous... although I know
anything.
It was his life.
It was all gratuitous.
But it was all gratuitous. And gratuitous sex, I'm on board. But I'm not like into gratuitous drug use. Like I don't want to just like watch people get fucked up on drugs.
But didn't it seem believable?
But it didn't seem gratuitous. It was part of the...
It was intrinsic.
It was
the
just
story.
Part of the story. And it wasn't offensive. What was that other movie with Donnie Wahlberg where... Not Donnie Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg, where they were doing a bunch of drugs and they
Boogie
like...
Boogie Nights?
No, I actually liked that. But where they... It was like they tricked that rich man. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Italian,
I can't remember what it was.
The heist.
Oh, that more recent one.
No,
the
it was
heist.
Recent with The Rock,
Bane
wasn't
and
it?
Game.
Pain and Gain.
Oh, that
and
was
that
terrible.
One, there was like a scene in
terrible.
That movie where they were just like all fucked up on drugs for 10 minutes. And I literally wanted to stab my eyes out because it was just so unnecessary.
But the scenes with the drugs and Wolf of Wall Street were so
part of the story.
Yeah.
Not just that, but so done in a way that, like, you've not seen drug use done that way.
Yeah.
You've not seen someone so, so out of control, and not just out of control, but like out of control of their body. Like, it's always been portrayed as funny and, but like,
or glamorous.
Yeah. Like, but like, when he can't talk on the phone and when he has to crawl to the claw,
he physically can't move.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
It was an honest portrayal of, here's what you think is glamorous.
Yeah.
And then here's what it really looks
like
to the outside
world.
You shit your pants.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, and it was funny, but it wasn't like, we're doing this for comedy, slapstick. Like, it was funny, but also dark and horrible.
Yeah, it was
and,
sad.
Yeah.
And I know that he's going to lose. I honestly know he's not going to lose.
He was really, really great.
But I think this is the time of
My favorite
of his four nominations. When Leonardo loses this Oscar this year, it's going to break my heart.
And who's he going to lose to?
Black Guy in a Slave Movie?
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Yeah. No,
Clayton,
Matthew McConaughey.
Yep.
He's going to lose
I'm
to Katie Matthew Wampus McConaughey.
On this. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to be very happy for Matthew McConaughey in a brave, courageous performance with a lot of things going for it. But honestly, 3 hours of Leonardo DiCaprio, no one else could do that.
Yeah.
Everyone else could lose
and
the weight and play an asshole, but no one else could make an asshole seem appealing for
only
3 hours.
The only reason I don't think it's the best picture is... just the countless scenes in the trading floor where it's just loud and him screaming into a mic. There were a couple really brilliant scenes. But
you think some of those could have been cutting room floor?
But honestly, I would be okay with anything winning Best Picture, but I want Leonardo is my sentimental and heartfelt favorite to win Best Actor.
I think he won it.
Because I don't think anybody else could make someone unappealing be appealing for... Like, 3 hours of Matthew McConaughey, and you'd be like, get off the screen, I hate you.
And, like, why was I still rooting for Leonardo DiCaprio when, at the end?
Because he's
with
so...
The whole... child and the car
it's
thing.
Called a winning performance
and
he's
I was
just
like
winning.
Still wanting him to be like a great dad, you know. I was like, just yeah, come on.
But the wife's an asshole. Everyone in that story, he's never encountered
why
anyone
did I hate
who wasn't
her?
An asshole, right?
Yeah, well.
All right, so fans of Pitch Perfect, was as you know, if you've spent any time watching my videos from this summer vacation, you know that I love Pitch Perfect and I wish I was in that movie. Elizabeth Banks, who was a producer of that movie, a co-star of that movie, is now signed up to be the director of the sequel. The original writer from the original Pitch
Perfect.
As in
Effie from The Hunger Games.
Her directorial debut. But she produced, she co-produced The Hunger Games. She co-produced Pitch Perfect. She's been using all of her money very wisely to become a film producer. And
do you know her from 30 Rock? Because that's where she first caught my eye.
No. See, I know her from Seabiscuit. Because everything from Seabiscuit on, I'm like, who is this
what
woman?
What else
she's
do
so
I know her
generic.
From? I know her
everything.
From something.
She is in
she
everything.
She played Laura Bush in W.
Nope.
She's in everything. When you look her up, you'll be like, I've seen that movie. Like, every time you see her on screen, you're like, who is Elizabeth Banks?
I gotta Google her, because I knew her from something before
but
The Hunger
she's
Games.
Taken every dollar she's made and turned it into movie producing, and she's got her finger on the buzzer. She's in charge of The Hunger Games. She's in charge of Pitch Perfect. This woman's making money. She is a great role model for women, and now she's gonna direct it. They haven't signed up a cast, but Anna Kendrick, my personal hero and savior, is already said she'll do anything they want her to do, and Rebel Wilson has been like, oh, I'm
so
not going to... Rebel Wilson won't say no to anybody. She's you too.
What about that cute fat kid? What's his name? The one who's like...
Oh, Matt from Workaholics.
Oh my God, he's so funny.
I just want to cuddle him to death.
I do. He is
funny.
So cute.
Workaholics
a
is the
cuddle
best.
Struggles. Snuggle struggle. Whatever it's called.
So we're
Kenny Wampus.
We're going to just... How long do I have? I have a couple of minutes.
We have nine. You have 8.5 minutes.
I just want to get done. So we're going
to
do...
Need to prioritize real quick.
So Denmark, and I can't remember if the country's called Holland, right?
No, it's Denmark.
I thought Denmark was its own
Denmark
country.
Is your Academy Awards. And a movie that I have not pushed on this show enough, but I will try to, because the guy's
your audience.
Usually geographically, he's the one who's on point, and he's off of it now. Denmark
so
is a country.
Yep. But Denmark is a country,
they're
and his
Danish.
Name is Mads someone or other.
Mikkelsen.
Mikkelsen. And he is Hannibal in the
Glad
show Hannibal,
here.
Which you know I don't talk about anything else.
He's also
February,
a James Bond villain.
Yes, he is. February 28th on NBC.
Can't wait.
Do not miss it. If we were friends, you will watch that show or not. We won't talk. Harrison. The Hunt. She takes my advice very seriously. The
she
Hunt
does.
Just won the best, their version of the Academy Awards. It's out. It's on. You can stream it on Netflix, or it's available from Netflix as a DVD. Blu-ray, whatever you want, The Hunt. It's what happens when someone falsely accuses someone of child molestation. Mm. And Mads just won Best Lead Actor. It's nominated for Best Picture this year. It is a fantastic movie. So fucking good. And this guy is just a great actor.
Is it nominated for Best Foreign Picture?
Foreign Language Film.
Okay, so...
And I just have to say, we'll go back to the Oscars again. I have now seen all... Oh, we're going to get there in a minute. All 9 nominees for Best Picture. There's not a schlub. There's not a schlub among them. Her, spectacular.
Yeah, I'm going to go really, see it tomorrow.
Oh, you will be... That was when I was least...
But wait,
you were not excited about it.
Wait. Barbara, you were commenting on it. You haven't seen it?
No.
But you were commenting earlier on it, but you haven't seen it.
No, I didn't comment on it. It just... The previews annoy me.
The premise is not interesting to you.
Okay. And I'm hoping that it went. I will say, Wolf of Wall Street did not interest me until I went to go see it. I saw the previews, like, oh, I don't need to see this. But it got nominated because I love Oscars.
And do you go watch all of them as well? Is that like a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barbara should be with us on that Sunday.
Yeah, what do you do on the Oscars?
I gave her first refusal.
Yeah. Buddy's with us. It's me and
Buddy has
Barbara
second refusal.
And, or, not Barbara.
But Buddy had a bad time last week. Last
the
year.
Wilk.
The Wilk.
Yeah, the Wilk's just, there's no refusal there. The Wilk and I will be together.
Even a restraining order doesn't work.
Yeah, the Wilk is not
debatable.
But I take
it very seriously, and I can't watch with people who aren't going to pay attention and watch. And like, I don't know if I can watch it with you guys.
We watch and we pause and we go back and re-watch segments.
It's my holy day. Like, it's the
religious. It was actually really good. Everyone was very, there was no like extraneous chit-chatting. Everyone was focused.
I take it very seriously.
I'm willing, by the way, just to let you know, if we want to move the venue because of larger.
Oh, it doesn't move.
Larger screen.
It doesn't move.
Okay, just letting you know. Larger screen and more room.
That's how seriously I take it. It does not move from
okay.
my
but all right, that's
I
fine.
Will say that last year I had to apologize to the Wilk afterwards because I really was like, I feel like I may or may not have ruined your time because I didn't watch any of the movies last year. I didn't know what I was in for.
So then I wouldn't want you in the room.
No,
but she's trained now. She got
but I'm better. So what happened was I sat right next to the Wilk and I asked him questions. I was like fucking 20 fucking questions.
You can't,
like,
you can't
boom,
ask,
boom, boom.
You can't ask
but
questions.
But he did
but
say.
We pause for questions and we get there in our own time. I just want to offer it up to you because you said no one else watches them as seriously as you. And I don't know anyone else that
these guys actually do.
It's the high holy day for me. And we have lots of champagne. So even if you have a bad
champagne,
time,
food.
And not iffy champagne, really good.
And if
like
you don't,
actual champagne.
And if you don't like it, you don't come back next year.
All right.
Oh, you should come.
Okay. So we're going to move on from that. But
you got 3 minutes,
you
Alfie.
Are offered first refusal. August Osage County. I have to tell you, I thought this was a gimme nomination for Meryl Streep. I thought she was very, very good in something I saw on stage twice. I saw it on Broadway. I saw it on tour. I thought it's a great play. I thought the screenplay, the adaptation was very well done. They skipped over what they could skip over. They added something at the end that I thought was very needed. But Meryl Streep, very, very good. This is not a phone-in. Her and Emma Thompson flip a coin. I think you could have gone either way with that fifth spot. I do agree that they were the fifth spot. Neither one of them had any chance of winning, but they were both going to be the fifth spot. Julia Roberts,
though. I think that movie, in time, will be looked at as a joke. I think it's going to be seen as a bunch of scenery chewing and overacting. And
but I think that play always had... I think that play... always had that characteristic to it. That play, when I saw it on stage, I thought...
But I don't think the movie feels like it's in on the joke. I feel like the movie feels like they're doing serious work and...
No, but I do think the play always had to live in that situation because it took so much exposition. That was a 3-act play told over 3 hours.
Have you guys seen it?
No, my mom hated it, so yeah. I was kind of out.
But I think the hour that they lost was an hour that needed to be lost. And I think who they cut back in their parts, it was all, I thought it was all well done. But I do have to say, it's good.
You know, it's playing at Mesa Arts or Mesa Theater. It's playing somewhere right now.
If you have a chance to see it on stage, it's its own animal on stage. It's a very, very, very fucked up picture. But I do have to say, and everybody knows I love Julia Roberts, so this is kind of like the biggest non-surprise of the year. I thought that was the most natural performance by her. I thought it was her best performance. There was no Julia Roberts. I thought everything was... She looked like Oklahoma that had moved to a bigger city but stayed Oklahoma. I thought her journey was very honest. I thought her reaction to her mother was very honest. Her reaction to her child and her spouse were... It was her best performance.
I would agree with that.
And the one that I really have to say did so much with so little because they cut her part back so much.
Margot Martindale.
Margot Martindale, but Juliette Lewis. Because Juliette Lewis conveyed everything to you about a country girl moves to what she thinks is a fancy big city and then has to come back country. And she thinks she is fancy. And as her life falls apart, mm-hmm. but everyone else gets the meat, she's just left with the reaction shots. I thought Juliette Lewis, she's back. That was a beautiful performance. And everything was conveyed by her, like, costuming, her hairstyles.
Her nervous tics.
Her nervous tics. Everything Juliette Lewis got across was based on where she was from and where she went to. And you just got everything out of her in reaction. And I think that's...
August Osage County is basically Precious with white people.
No,
it's the feel bad movie of the year.
I call it Long Day's Journey into Oklahoma. Like, to me, it was Long Day's Journey into Night, not so much Precious, because
it's a whole fucking shit show.
It is a shit show, but I will have to say that
the movie's a shit show.
No, it's very well done.
Their lives is a shit
I appreciate
show.
The fact using my own phrase.
Yeah, so
shit show. I mean,
I do have to throw out, and I'm sewing it apart, but I'm saying this because I know she's seen it. I don't know, but it was good.
After this, I'm not sure. My mom, I think my parents didn't like it because we have had so much like chit show-ness in
up
in the Junes.
That's exactly why. That's why it's not a hit.
And I don't think my parents enjoyed watching that.
Because it was a reflection on their own show. Yeah.
And that's why I call it Long Day's Journey into Oklahoma, because you're watching a family
sorry,
with
Mom,
no
Dad,
artifice. And
I
they
shared that with
they
them.
Don't
that's
put,
they moved it from Christmas because nobody wants to see that shit on Christmas.
You just lived it at Christmas.
Right. You just went through it. I get that.
I do have to say that they take away the arch. They take away that, you know, when you see a show and there's the proscenium arch and you have that little like gateway into the theater where you can be like, okay, it's beyond that line. But this was like in your face and you have to live it with them. And I think that's why those portrayals that were so honest and no one was doing, there was scenery chewing, but I think everyone was doing it in the way that it was very natural acting to me. It wasn't theatrical. It had lost all of its
I think
like,
one day it's going to be a
presence.
Camp fest.
Well, yeah, I think any movie with that cast is going to be a camp fest.
It's the end of hour two. We have one more to go. Coming up, a little thoughtful.
I only have one more story.
Thoughtful vulgarity. Al's going to wrap up his entertainment section. Then we're going to go to Katie June, who's got sports and stuff.
We'll have sports stuff,
too. And we'll talk to Barbara Seville, who is with us on this wonderful Tuesday evening to add to our roundup cast. It's Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee. It's the show on Q Talk America. We'll be back right after this, just seconds away. Stick with us, won't you?
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening. It is the beginning of hour three on this Tuesday night in the last Tuesday of January, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't believe that shit.
It's already going so quickly. But this is Studio C. You are live on Q Talk America with us. It's the show. We do it every Tuesday night, 7 to 10, Phoenix time. Thank you for being with us. We would like to say hello to people in the United States, New Zealand, Kuwait, Austria, and all the ships at sea. If you're listening to us, please jump on the QTalkAmerica.com website and jump in the chat room and let us know where you're listening from, if you would. Just because we like to know why you're wasting your time listening to us, because that's what we do. Al Perkins is in the middle of his entertainment section, and Al, we will go to you and tell us, what else you got?
Well, I have one more review for you, and I do have to address Barbara's thing, and I think anytime you see something, like if you see the movie of Steel Magnolias, which I think is the biggest example of something that turned camp within like a second of it coming out, and I had the pleasure of seeing it on stage, and it lacked a tiny bit of camp. It didn't have it, and this Marsha Mason was in it. Like there was pretty big stars in it when I saw it. Not that Marsha Mason is still a big star, but if you're as old as I am,
I would like to have seen her.
Yeah, no, it was a very
Goodbye Girl.
Yes, it was a very well done version of the play, but the movie has that effect of like you've got big stars with big lines and big things to say, like
big
Virginia
speeches.
Woolf. Like we watched Virginia Woolf, which is certainly not a camp classic
no,
in any way.
Fucked with my head.
But when he and I and Doug watch it, there's lines you can't help laughing at. Like they say things with such venom and with such vigor that you're like, oh,
I wish I was that good.
That's
in some kind
of funny. Like I wish I could come up with something like
you're
that.
You're a bitch, but I wish I was that much of a bitch.
Yeah. So I have to say that about August is I think August Osage County is going to end up in that category of there's eat the fish bitch. Is going to turn into the new drink your juice Shelby.
Yeah, I'd buy that shirt.
I'd buy that shirt.
That is great.
Yeah, I think we're headed there just because of the thing. So my last movie review, and I always talk about cinematography because I have the biggest heart on for cinematography at all times, and why you should go see something in a big movie theater.
Exactly.
On the biggest
Don't watch
screen
it on your
possible.
Phone, on your iPad.
If you watch a movie on your phone, I will stab you to your dead, and I'm not even kidding.
unless you're on an airline.
I saw somebody on an airplane watch Batman. The Dark Knight.
You're just killing time.
I don't care.
Don't be mad at them.
But then you're going to talk to me 5 minutes later about how I didn't really get The Dark Knight Rises. No, it was The Dark Knight, not The Dark Knight Rises. It was Batman, The Dark Knight.
Oh, there were two different ones?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God. I'll kill you.
I've never seen either one of them.
So this fucktard watched the entire movie on his phone and then walking off was like, well, I didn't get the appeal of that. You just watch an IMAX movie on a 5-inch fucking phone. I am going to put a knife in your heart until you die.
Thank you.
Because cinematography is a definite, definite art.
Right.
And I talk about it with Children of Men, Children of Men, Children of Men. Whatever you're doing, go see that movie and we'll talk about it later. Children of Men.
Sounds like something I should do on a Tuesday.
Say it softly, it's almost like praying. So I went and saw a movie that I thought was going to be a bit of a chore because I had given up on the genre many years ago, but I saw Frozen. And I have got to tell you that the cinematography of this movie, and it's a goddamn cartoon.
Is cinematography the right word for that?
Yes, it is cinematography.
Is it animatography?
You could maybe call it animatography.
Good one, Clayton.
That's what I was asking.
But they I'm with you still.
Thank you. Yeah.
But they had an eye for...
Cuck-eyed, or what's our
how
word?
How does this look on the...
Cattywampus.
When I set this scene up, when I show you the Snow Queen making her castle.
Beautiful.
When I show you what the village of Arendelle looks like from below, I have an eye for and an appreciation for cinematography. When I blow this up to a 30-foot by 90-foot screen, what will this look like? And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it will look breathtaking. Yeah. This movie was breathtaking from beginning to end.
It's beautiful.
They hired the guy that did Avenue Q and the Book of Mormon to write songs for a Disney cartoon. So I was instantly on board. And as soon as I was like, which Robert
Lopez?
That's
a husband and wife, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But which Robert Lopez do you mean? Is it the Avenue Q Book of Mormon Robert Lopez?
Oh, when you heard it.
Yes,
and
it is. Because I was like, I had to seriously stop because one of the songs was so tuneful and so joyous. And so,
which one?
The song that the girl, princess, blah, 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 and
queen of Arendelle.
No, the princess of Arendelle and her suitor sing together about falling in love on first sight. And I thought, the lyrics are so clever. I feel like Howard Ashman has joined us from the grave.
Yeah.
Because these are clever, clever lyrics. And I did what Barbara Seville would have stabbed me in the neck for. I pulled up my phone and I'm like, I need to know who wrote the song, lyrics to this song. Right now. Like, I can't go another minute without finding out who gave me these joyous lyrics. And the music was beautiful. The lyrics are beautiful. The cinematography, it was stunning that I wish I was stoned. I wish I was
That's
stoned
so
to
weird
see the beauty
that
of this.
You're reviewing, because it's been out for, God, how long has it been out?
No, I have stayed away from...
Before Christmas.
I have stayed away from all animated movies
people
since...
People are getting the gifts
like
for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah. He's almost opposed to animation.
Ever since, because I saw Up because I knew it would look beautiful.
And it
beautiful.
Makes me cry. So
I'm
going to
tell you.
Agreed.
That,
agreed.
Michael Giacchino, I can't think of his name. His name, last name is Giacchino. He did the music for Lost, and he's my favorite composer. He did the music for Up, and he won his Oscar. And when I heard he did the music for Up, I was like, I'm in. I'll go see anything. If Michael Giacchino is in your credits,
I'm in.
So this one, I just went because I'm like, everyone is talking about the songs. It's got two songs in the Hot 100, not just the original song, but then Demi Lovato did something.
Version.
And I think Demi Lovato, stay home. Because anything you needed from that song...
But you know what?
How could you not want it to be from Idina over Demi? Demi. That's just me. Like, I want...
Idina Menzel sold you everything.
This is why. Because you have this... 11-year-old girl who hears it, who might go see the movie now.
Right.
No, and that's right. Her introduction to...
But they're both in the Hot 100. That's the beautiful thing, is Idina, as much as Disney tried to fuck over Idina...
And who knew Kristen Bell could sing like that?
I know.
Because she's in... And again, I will recommend this. Write this down. The musical version of...
Use your
the
words.
Anti-pop movie. What's the anti-pop movie? Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness.
The
yeah,
musical version of Reefer Madness is...
But no one saw that. You
I
and
did.
Two people.
Yeah. So, I don't care. If you only appeal to me, you got a moviegoer. You know what I mean? Someone's coming.
I had no idea she could sing like that.
I did.
But the movie was so beautiful. And
beautiful.
I love that the love story... is a love story, but it's not
between,
what you would...
Yes, and what I...
Because I knew the story.
What a great message for kids.
That's what I thought.
I knew the Hans Christian Andersen story, so I was like, oh, I am not in the mood for this ending. And I was so like, I'm bored. Like, I was all set to write the whole shit off, and then when they changed it, I was like, it's a love story.
So
beautifully done.
I really need to go see it again, and actually, Palmer wants to.
January 31st, all over the country, sing along.
She can't sit through a movie. Like, when we watched The Lion King at home, which is her favorite movie, she's climbing over the back of the... Right, she's climbing the back of the couch. So, when we were in Durango for New Year's, Colorado, and we needed something fun to do with her, we thought, we'll go try. We're going to try. And I was fully ready, because we had tried before at fucking Disney on Ice and all this other shit. And every time we have to leave early because she can't do it. So, I think I wasn't paying as much attention to the movie because I was so concerned about her needs and what was she going to like, what weird freak out was going to take us away.
Right.
And she sat the whole time, which I don't know if that speaks, what that speaks to, but I would imagine the movie that it, you know, 2-year-old, she was just, she can't sit through anything.
If you think of a 2-year-old, you're thinking colors, sounds, things
she
relate to.
She likes songs, she likes music. And she was like, the whole time. And we left and she's going, more Frozen, more Frozen. I mean, it's cute. Like, it was so great.
Beautiful. And Josh Gad from the Book of Mormon.
They could have had so much more of him. That was my only complaint.
Yeah. Josh Gad from the Book of Mormon.
Wait, is he the one that's in Looking now?
No, that's Jonathan. That's...
Groff.
Goff.
Yeah,
Jonathan
Groff.
He's the prince. Groff. He's the prince. And a beautiful
this guy, he
voice.
Was the guy that played like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
He was on that White House
he's
show.
He's on a lot of different shows, but he's the Book of Mormon.
West
he's
Wing?
The, am I saying this
no,
right?
No, that sitcom version of being the president.
But in the Book of Mormon, when you listen to the soundtrack.
He's the plus one.
When you find out what Asadiga Agawai means, and he keeps saying it over and over again, he's like, am I saying that right? Mm. That's Josh Gad.
He also writes a column for USA Today. Did you know that?
Josh Gad, he's a brilliant, brilliant
Google
person.
Him right now.
He's a just and he's got a great singing voice, and his part in that movie was a delight. There,
oh my God, he's in that commercial for the USA Today. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yes, he is. He talks about his ad, but
I would think so because his column is funny. And
yeah.
So I'm not doing a top 10 this year because although I've done well in the Oscars, I feel I've missed out on too many great movies of this year to do an actual top 10 list of this year. Because I think I just have a knack of getting the Oscars right. I have to tell you that Frozen would be in my top two.
Wow.
It was just a spectacular achievement. And it's Walt Disney Animation, which doesn't do much.
Yeah.
Tangled is really their only other big hit.
That movie is so big and reaching so many people and touching so many people with songs in the Hot 100, like you said, that they're releasing it while it's already out. They are re-releasing it as a sing-along version.
Yeah, January 31st. All over the country, January 31st
so
is a sing-along.
You can go watch it and sing it.
That's amazing. Like at a theater.
Wow.
I'm in.
With a bouncing snowman.
I cannot wait to watch that movie on my TV and see it on my beautiful TV. Like, it was like Up. I had not seen anything that beautiful in a long, long time. And it was just
gorgeous.
Beginning to end was a gorgeous, gorgeous movie. So I needed to get that in because...
And don't you love the girl whose goal in life is to marry a prince and to live happily after just gets her ass handed to her.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, just fucked.
I just thought it was such a good message for...
Oh, so this is a movie about me.
Yeah.
I just realized this now. Thank you, Barbara.
Everything about not expressing your feelings, everything about keeping everything inside, anything that has to do with not expressing yourself as who you really are is a bad thing.
There's 50 years of Disney movies of girls saving themselves for this prince and waiting for this one guy to rescue her. And in this movie, the guy...
Just basically is like, go fuck yourself.
Is a doof, yeah.
Or go fuck yourself.
The guy, he really should have said, or go fuck yourself at one point.
Go fuck yourself.
So that's it for me.
That's it from Al. Katie?
Yeah, no, I'm ready.
Stacked up. She's
I'm
ready to go. A lesbian with pent up anger. Here she comes. It's Katie June.
And then this week in sports and other stuff, we have an update from our good friend Jonathan Martin. You remember that, may remember that name.
I do.
We have some updates on the Super Bowl.
Sunday, go Seattle. Sunday, go Seattle.
Sunday.
Go Seattle.
Go Bronx.
Or go Bronx. I really don't care, but I like the guy from...
You know that Santa NFL Leonard. Player, Savage Johnson? No? No, you don't?
Nope.
That and more in sports.
Oh, and other stuff.
So, update on our friend Jonathan Martin.
How is he doing?
Well, he did his first interview today, actually. It was posted today.
All right.
Of course, he was the one that left the Miami Dolphins around all of these bullying rumors and the bullying scandal that also left Richie Incognito without a job and a lot of bad press for them.
Boy, did the news forget those two.
Quickly.
Really?
It dropped out, like, quickly.
So maybe that's why he's interviewing today.
Yeah.
For his first interview ever.
Kenny Wampus about it.
Yeah.
He basically just... kind of gave some more insight and talked about it. He said, I'm a grown man. I've been in locker rooms. There's vulgar language used.
Is yours gone?
One instance doesn't bother me. It's the persistence of it. I wish I had had more tools to solve my situation, but I felt trapped. Like I didn't have a way to make it right. And it came down to the point where I thought it was best to remove myself from the situation. So of course, now you have the Dolphins. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, is coming out and going, no, that's just so bizarre, and is totally kind of trying to just, do some damage control here, because now we're getting a little bit more of the full picture. But it really doesn't sound in the interview, at least not here, that he's really blaming Richie Incognito for all of this. It's just the culture of the Dolphins and the culture of that locker room, he said, is worse than any other team that he's been a part of, and he just couldn't do it anymore. Which is fair, and he's 24, when you really think about it. Like, yes, he's playing sports, but he's 24. I mean, that's so young.
Sadly, he's too young for in my age range that I need to be targeting.
Perfect.
Sadly. Yep. Sadly.
Well, I mean, he is brown-skinned, but...
Well, that gives him a few more points.
Yeah, so, he may get a pass.
The fact is, that shit is all going to change, and it's going to kill people.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be able to get away with that shit much longer.
Yeah.
Of just... That attitude that, it's sports and toughen up, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just not going to happen.
It's not. So, and again, I know we've said this here before, but good on him, on Jonathan Martin, for really kind of standing up for it and saying, this is not cool. And I don't want to do it. So the Super Bowl is happening this Sunday between the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos.
Now, that's here in Phoenix this year, right?
It is. As a matter of fact, yes. Yeah, so they are very, very fortunate to be playing in the high 70s. In fact, they're actually calling
this the
coldest Super Bowl, like, on record.
Well, they're not calling it. It is.
It is the coldest Super Bowl on record. Right. So let's see.
And our little friend, the polar vortex, has dipped down again.
Again.
Yeah.
However, they're talking that snow ends on overnight from Saturday night to Sunday morning, and they'll be in, I forget what the temperature was, but they're saying that it should be good. They should be good.
From what I heard, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to, is that
cutoff
is negative 40 wind chill. That is the only temperature they will stop for.
Yeah, and the coldest Super Bowl was played in 39 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 4 Celsius. That was in 1972.
Yeah, I was going to say Super Bowl 3 or 4.
Super Bowl, but, it doesn't say.
But while they're in
Super Bowl 4.
But I'm going to use the wrong term, I'm sure. They're in a stadium, right?
It's a stadium.
They're in an arena.
Not an stadium.
No, I understand that. My point is, because it's built up around them.
They
don't have a block from a wind chill?
No. You watch those games, and the kickers have to decide. They practice kicking because of the winds coming through in the currents.
Oh, in the dip.
And that's why the teams that know how to play outdoors almost always win, and they've been complaining for years and years and years that all the Super Bowls have been in indoor stadiums. So the outdoor teams, like Buffalo, lost 4 Super Bowls, have a disadvantage, because they play in real weather, and they keep going to dome places,
which
with
is, no
controlled
wind.
Weather. So now I'm sorry.
Right, which is they're saying where it's been in Miami and San Diego, which are palm tree climates, so you're not worried about the weather, or dome stadiums, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, and Detroit recently. So some of the folks are saying that they're excited to play in the snow. We're quoted as some of the Seattle Seahawks saying they're excited.
Seattle is because a weather town. They play outdoors in a city with weather.
What is Denver? I don't know. Does Denver have an outdoor?
I don't
Denver, I think they have an outdoor stadium.
Denver
they do.
Converted, so we'd have to Google that. Denver
and
converted.
It's pretty fucking cold in Denver.
I'll Denver used to be outdoors, and they
Google it.
They have a newer stadium.
Okay, so the players are not fearing. They're predicting it to be 37 degrees and is likelier to be near the projected low of 27 degrees for the nighttime kickoff.
But for like if you
30% chance of rain or snow
because they called the Super Bowl Lambeau Field in Wisconsin, that used to be, that's the weather that they wanted to play in. They wanted it to be a Chicago-Green Bay game. That's what the Super Bowl should have been.
Right.
Was two ice-cold cities outdoors.
Playing in the ice cold.
Soldier Field and Lambeau Field are very outdoors, very, very cold, and you're not a real football team. If you're playing in this indoors,
yeah,
that's not
the
football.
Cards.
And they've got contingency plans to move it to early as Friday.
Oh, they do.
They do. They've said, but
everything is ready to go.
Have you read the restrictions?
If it looks like it's going to come in,
no, but
boom.
But I love that.
And driving is not a consideration because it's a mass transit city. So, like, if you can't get here by car, that's your own fault.
Denver is an open air stadium.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
Mile High Stadium. I can't believe it took me that long to.
It is. But I just want to double check that.
The fact that I couldn't come up with Mile High Stadium really pisses me off.
It is, but it could be Mile High Stadium with a tarp over it.
No, but it's not.
Okay, I'm just
they're both kind of saying it. The Bronx
for
are saying.
For me, I'm saying I know that.
I think I'm catching up to you.
They're saying the Rocky Mountain chills are common for the Bronx. We're weatherproof. We live in a cold city. So, I mean, either way, it's going to be a fun game to watch.
It is.
They're fun teams. It'll be interesting to see what's happening. I did watch a funny news story where if you're asking people from New York, where is the game being played? They're saying New York City. If you're asking people from New Jersey or New York, if you're asking people from New Jersey, where's the game being played? They're saying it's New Jersey and go fuck yourself, New York.
Because the only now here's a quiz.
All they're getting is the game.
Everybody ready? What is the only Major League Football team in New York State?
The Jets.
The Jets. No, the Giants or the
Buffalo Bills. Everyone else plays in New Jersey. The only team that plays in New York State is the Buffalo Bills.
But they're
Bills.
Still the New York Giants. That's so weird.
But they play in the Meadowlands or whatever. They just built a new stadium.
The Meadowlands.
Everything else is in New Jersey. It's in Hoboken. Or I think it's Hoboken. I might be wrong there. But the only team that plays in New York State is the Buffalo Bills. Bills.
That's so funny. So they're,
so we're, that's why we're always very proud that we are the New York
So that's but they were
Jersey
talking a little bit about the, New Jersey's kind of like, I mean, listen, give us some credit, but really just we want to take your money. Like, we don't really give a fuck. Like, they're going to get a lot of money coming into New Jersey anyway. But all of the Super Bowl, like the Super Bowl city stuff that's being set up is all in New York.
Of course it
is.
Because when they do, like when you come here and I worked at a sports bar and I worked for Hilton during the Super Bowl 30 X triple X.
Right.
We did the Margarita Bowl. We did all the events that take place around it. You get all the people that have been on teams, all the all-stars,
sponsor parties,
all the sponsor parties. That all goes on. Now, when you tell people, okay, the Super Bowl's in Hoboken, New Jersey, but we can do your all-star party in Manhattan. Where do you want to stay? What are they going to pick?
Right.
Think it through. So, you know, all the money for the pregame stuff is going to come there, but then the nice thing is, for the state of New Jersey, everybody else, you got to take a train to Hoboken, bitch.
Right.
They
have to.
I think it's Meadowlands. I honestly think the new stadium is in Meadowlands.
They're making their money. They're just pissed off they're not getting the respect.
But the New York Jets and the New York Giants both share that one stadium that just got built. It's only like 2 years old, and they play opposite Sunday's home games, and everything takes place in New Jersey.
Okay.
And getting there is terrible.
It's a train wreck.
If the Washington Bridge is closed. Katie, what else you got?
I had a quick story about, good old what's-his-face, Richard Sherman, but I just deleted it on accident. So you talked about him last week.
Richard Sherman's a great guy. He's apologized officially.
We'll let you look for that. You had something for the sports, Richard.
Oh, the Olympics are coming up in Russia.
So
you're
wait,
welcome.
I had one more really, really quick thing about the Super Bowl, and then I have some... Olympics.
Fuck
Do you,
you.
Know
and
who's predicted
friend,
to win?
Our friend Katia Lee Love.
Yes.
You will see her work on the Olympics, on the American figure skaters.
Why? What is that?
She
made their costumes.
Really?
You're kidding me.
Shut
it's amazing.
Up. Seriously. She sewed costumes for...
Is, as of
now.
This
as
minute.
Of, as of right now. Stoning and making their costumes.
That's amazing.
I had
so cool.
no idea about that with Katia.
Here in Phoenix. Randolph from Dancing with the Bars.
Oh, yeah.
Based here in Phoenix.
Well, woohoo! For that. Well, beautifully realized.
That's all. That's exciting. What's it called? Caca? What is it? What's
it's
the
all
word?
Cattywampus.
What's it? Cattywampus. Well, fuck.
Cock-a-doo-doo.
That's fantastic. I had no
that's
idea.
Very exciting.
From Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And one of her creations will be on the cover of. Time magazine.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
That's
good
phenomenal.
For her. And
can
hopefully
I just
that
back you up?
Kind of...
Can I back you all up just a second mm-hmm. into the men's figure skating champions? Have you seen the video of
Jason Brown?
Yep, all watched it.
Monster I haven't seen cock. It yet.
Yep.
I'm gonna vote.
Cattywampus.
I'm gonna go by height and nose that big cock is probably true.
Good.
I don't know.
Keith Olbermann has named the Sochi mayor the worst person in sports. And what's great is that he actually...
Maybe the worst person
can
ever.
Can we figure out a way to get Keith Olbermann to come here? I want him to be
that
here.
That would be so great.
I enjoy Keith Olbermann.
I do too.
His big head and everything. We'll make a fifth seat and then when Buddy gets a real
I'll
job...
I'll talk less for Keith Olbermann.
Oh, you goddamn right you will.
I didn't even mean that, but I'm glad you took that seriously.
But we'll pay him the same as all of us make.
Oh, perfect. Good. He's in. Anatoly Pakhmatov.
Of course you do.
Worst person in sports for the comments that he made during a BBC interview. He literally said that there were no gays in his city.
Yes.
Oh, tell me that again. What city
Which is a story that I skipped on my headlines, but I'm glad you're checking
it. In Sochi, he said, I'm going to get this
There's
word
no
wrong.
There's no gays in Sochi.
No.
Nope.
None that he knows.
None, very,
none that
very,
he knows.
How very Iranian of him.
But there are several gay bars.
That's best part. Get out of my head.
And somebody's like, well, how do they survive? I don't know. But I don't know any of them.
Bunch of out-of-towners.
Right. God well, damn foreigners.
The best part is that he says it's not accepted here in the, and I will say this, Caucasus,
right.
Where we live.
You know how the term Caucasian
yes.
for white people? It literally
it's
comes from that
because
mountain.
Of that. We said that last week.
That's your root
I'm
word
sorry,
there.
I missed that.
Right.
Good.
So that's when John Stewart
Caucasus,
was talking about.
Got it.
When John Stewart was talking about foreigners, he's like, oh, the bomber of the Boston Marathon was literally Caucasian.
Oh,
he's from Caucus.
Okay.
Now, there's a drag queen in Sochi named Madame Zuzha.
It's European.
She's gay?
It's Z-H-U-Z-H-A, whatever.
Oh, she's definitely straight.
No, whatever.
Oh,
and
most,
she said that there
straight.
Was...
Yeah, no gays.
She said there is definitely a gay community in this city and in other areas of Russia.
All right,
she,
well, no, but, straight from the drag queen's mouth.
And I think if we're getting it from a queen in the city... It's golden.
It is.
But the mayor said no.
No.
Well, I love this.
Ixnay, he
so
said.
The person who's doing the interview.
He doesn't know
he says,
any of them.
It's not accepted here in the Caucasus where we live. We do not have them in our city. So someone said, so the town is 100% straight? Statistically, is that even possible?
No.
And the guy kept going. The guy went on and on and on and said, well, I don't bloody know them. And the interviewer said, go on, Mr. Mayor. We can still see your head poking out of the top of that hole you're digging yourself.
Right, exactly.
For yourself.
Someone said that?
Well,
it
may have been Keith Olbermann, but it's really funny.
But in a related story, Tom Ford, right? The mayor of Toronto, is running again.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter how stupid you are. You
Tom
can be the
Ford.
Mayor.
That's Tom Ford.
That's Gucci.
Tom Ford
Anything.
Is an eyeglass
yeah,
designer.
It's Rob Ford.
Rob Ford.
It's a Chris Farley
who
of,
dances.
Of Canada.
Yes, exactly.
My
now,
apologies.
This Madame Zuzha says that there are many clubs for gay people in Moscow. In Sochi, we have two gay clubs as well. In some places, there's serious prejudice against gay people. In other places, it's not so bad. So apparently, there are gay clubs for them to go to, but... They have also.
I'm sorry, if you're listing yourself as a gay, not gay, I'm sorry, let me take that back for the mayor. If you're listing yourself as a drag queen from Sochi,
yes, you
there's
are.
Probably a gay scene because
Madame
unless
Zuzha.
You're entertaining your grandmother.
Yes, right.
You
no,
need
I've
to
been to some shows where there weren't people in the audience.
Yeah.
You could be a drag queen without audience.
Oh, no.
If a tree falls and there's no one there to hear it, it's still.
Is
it's
a
still
drag
fell.
Queen performing? Yeah.
Exactly.
I did drag for many years without an audience.
And I just love it. I just
like
love
you in your mirror in your mom's dress.
I just love the
in
fact
a
that
bottle
the,
of shampoo.
The question was posed. If there are gay clubs and there are no gays, how are they stay in business? And nobody will comment on that.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Well, the scarier thing, and this is all like good and fun, but really the scarier thing kind of surrounding the Olympics is what happens with all of these terrorist threats? Are they to be taken seriously? Are they legitimate? I mean, they're saying like, you know, watch out, Russia, you've been warned. And there are a lot of American athletes whose families are not traveling to Russia. One specific, and I don't recall what his sport is, but he said, I won't be able to perform. I can't go in and actually compete if my family's here because I'm worried about their safety. Right. And this is just, you know, it's really unfortunate. And then are we there? I just don't. And they don't even have snow.
The other thing about this.
What?
They don't have snow.
No,
Phoenix. It's the Phoenix of Russia. They have palm trees.
Now, I would say worse than that, it's the Palm Springs of Russia.
Okay, yeah, palms are right.
Everything's man-made.
It's already fake snow.
They're literally trapping snow under giant covers.
They're buying it. One of the costs of this Olympics is buying the snow.
I love it.
The other thing is, fucking beautiful lake, it's like a resort.
30 to 50 miles away up in the mountains is where the ski events happen. Again, 30 to 50, not even in Sochi, 30 to 50 miles away, out of that little iron barrier.
That's typical in every venue,
though. But out of that iron barrier where they're saying that all the safety is. No, it's not even there. They're going out of the way
right,
to get to
it. Right, there is no safety. And they won't talk to American officials at all about what kind of safety precautions they're taking.
Because Americans are saying, all you have to do is ask and we'll provide our help because we spy on everybody. Now, the thing that I have...
We are having ships off the coast, though, ready to go.
Yeah, because it...
Oh, really?
Yes, that's already happening.
Even though I asked last week, I still can't remember. It's Black Sea or Caspian Sea. I never remember which sea it's off of.
Why does it got to be black?
It's a coastal...
I think you said black. I think it's Black Sea.
It's a coastal town. Now, the funny thing
is
that...
It's totally a coastal town.
Because of all the problems that Russia has had with the Georgians, that has taken up, like... All the movies.
Georgia is a state in Russia, by the way, Richard, in case you didn't know that.
Oh, no, I'm
I just want to make sure you don't think they're from
Caesar movies.
Atlanta.
But even the movies portray everything that any time that there is any kind of like a rogue element to a Russian enemy, because everybody knows that a Russian enemy is so cliche, why would you do it? And they're like, ooh, Georgians.
The Black Sea.
Bring up the Georgians, but it's coming out on TV, and it's funny because CNN is clearly thinking like I am, like, oh, the Russians have problems with the Georgians. That's what all the movies say. Every time I see a movie where they bring up a Russian villain, they're Georgian. And they're like, no, the problem is because they can't describe a Caucasian person as the enemy. So the movies
because
always
all of America
have to make
would
them
be
Georgian.
The enemy.
So Americans don't understand a Caucasian enemy, so they can't describe all the terrorist problems they've had with the Caucasus Mountains. And I think it's the funniest thing is that the word Caucasian is at the root of all things communicable.
But our enemy.
Welcome to Drunk.
The Caucasian? Duck Dynasty.
That's
our enemy.
It's just such a scary like place. I'm looking at a very expanded, like this very, very expanded map.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just like not a safe place for Americans to be vacationing.
Because look at what they're north of.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Just travel south and see what's lying there.
The only saving grace I see on that is the fact
that Siberia.
they are coastal.
Yeah.
So if they need to escape, hit the beach, get on whatever America is shipping to the beach.
But even still,
you
got to get through the Black Sea, through Istanbul.
No, but I'm just saying, to get off land, they can get off because they are coastal.
But the
Black Sea has got to be pretty big.
What the Panama Canal of that region is, and I never remember what it is, but the actual water route out of the Black Sea into the Mediterranean.
She's got it.
Is at war all the time.
Yeah, it's through Istanbul. It's like...
All the time are out of that Black Sea.
It's fucking tiny. Like, the way to get through is like a tiny... Just to really go right through Istanbul and then down and through some other country. I don't know. Like... It's all in Turkey.
Everything is blah, 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 Stan, because they're all parts of Russia that have left.
And nobody gets along.
No.
Not at all.
Anyway, so Scary McGarry stuff happening over there.
Scary McGarry. Coats McGarry.
It's very cattywampus over there in Russia.
I feel like I should play that.
We are definitely sending our athletes into very...
It's really fucking bad.
...dangerous territory.
Suck it, Russia.
Hottie McHotterson.
Oh, man. He's amazeballs. He's like the hottest hottie that ever hottied.
He's like a hottie times infinity plus another infinity. And his smile is totes adorbs.
Totes my goats. It's cray cray adorbs.
Totes my goats.
James Earl Jones is the best.
All right. Totes my goats. Katie, you're out on this one. But 3 out of 4 panelists surveyed.
What does that even mean?
there's three out of four of us on the panel being surveyed.
Oh, I said there was. You said there would be no math. No math.
All right. Of a certain age, did you ever think you would find the day where James Earl Jones would just be downright fucking funny? Barbara Saville.
I love his commercials.
But did you ever think that that day was coming?
Luke. I always thought he was funny, even...
Luke, I'm your father.
I always got a kick out of him.
All right, so Barbara Saville is going to prove his wrong. Clayton McKee, same question. Did you ever think that James Earl Jones would provide comedy
however,
to the world?
However, the second that I remember hearing, this is CNN, I'm like, holy shit, we are done. Because we've gone from Darth Vader to this, and we're done.
The door's open.
Well, the door's open, yes.
I mean, this is CNN was parodied on Saturday Night Live so many times.
Oh, like, it's been parodied, but I didn't watch CNN. I don't watch SNL, so I didn't give a shit. All I was about broadcast media.
All right, follow-up questions.
This isn't Thoughtful for Garrity. We're not there yet.
3 out of 4 panelists. Barbara Saville. Malcolm, give me his last name because I always get it wrong.
In the middle?
X.
No. On the commercial.
Different guy?
On the commercial.
The white guy who's his friend.
From
McDowell.
Oh, yeah.
Malcolm McDowell. Is there any situation where you thought Malcolm McDowell would ever strike you as funny? Barbara Saville.
I agree, no.
No.
Okay, good. Thank you.
But that's why it's so funny.
That's why. But no, it strikes me as hysterical that a Clockwork Orange.
When I watched Clockwork Orange for the first time, I had to turn it off. Like, yeah. I had to actually turn off the movie.
The follow up commercial
never watched it all the way through.
It's like, are you going to go out? Then he goes, nope. But I might.
Oh, I love that one.
Okay.
Still funny.
I'll text you, but I probably won't.
I want to lure the left on an island, Katie, whatever her last name might be, back in. Katie January. What's your name? Same month.
That's close.
Pick a month.
Close enough. July. Did you ever think your text messages would be read aloud in a humorous way like
that's
they were then?
That's so funny. Because they're all important.
No, yeah, but it
all
is hilarious.
Texting is
important. But I have to tell you that I felt like I had written every one of those texts. But I might.
Yeah,
but I might.
I'm going to stay home, but I'm thinking about going out.
It's literally the 1980s. This is my entire 1980s experience. It is really. And I love the other. There's another one where they're at the supermarket, and he's like, "I'm by the blah blah." That's more like my life with Kelly.
Where are you?
I'm over by the lettuce, and
but
then
where
she's
is
like,
that?
"Where's that?" Now I'm by the baby diapers, and I mean it's just funny.
But mine is
legit.
I think I'm going to stay home, but I might go out. That is seriously 1982 to 1992, just encapsulated by James Earl Jones and Malcolm, whatever his name might be.
It's so funny. It's good. And that's it for sports.
And
so
soon. Stuff. Oh, but we have so much more,
Barbara Saville.
So stick around.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right.
I don't know. Is that your phone?
Yeah, that caught me off guard.
It's Al's phone, I think.
Okay. So I am going to do a little bit of dancing around the topic while I get the right quote.
And also until Katie comes back into the room.
Okay, that's good too.
I'm just saying. We got time to spare.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to a wide shot of the studio where we can all be seen.
Harrison said, poor Sochi, no interior designers, hairstylists, lady construction workers.
No,
and Joe, I'm glad that we're not on a wide shot because I was just picking my nose.
Yeah.
I forgot you guys were with us.
Okay, so I obviously can't find the right quote from Marcus Aurelius, but the point of this story comes from Marcus Aurelius and from The Silence of the Lambs in the simplest... It's kind of like Occam's Razor, where, like, the simplest route between... If you're trying to find who killed the person, try the simplest route. Like, who knew them? Who were they with? Who's their best friend?
Who have they been hanging with?
Probably killed them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we're going to go with Marcus Aurelius. What is the point of the story? Does that make sense? Are you with me?
Who's Marcus Aurelius?
Marcus Aurelius is a, I want to say, ancient Italian philosopher, but I'm I.
Well, how the hell do I know who killed him?
But what is this in reference to? Go.
So what this is in reference to is from the Silence of the Lambs, when they get to the point of like, what happens in your everyday life? Like, what is it day to day that motivates you? Because you don't seek out something else. So my motivation will start with you because you're in Marcia's chair. What is it that you covet? Like, what do you see on a day-to-day basis that you covet, that makes you jealous, that makes you... I know, I told you, I went a little deep because I've been drinking. So, what do you covet? What do you see?
Oh my God, speaking of, I've been drinking Beyonce Grammys, gagged, almost made me like girls.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
I'm gonna do something.
I think she's a really bad songwriter. I just have to say it.
I just Doesn't love the Jay-Z performance, and I do song? Love the song. I love it. I love this one. New dirty side of Beyonce.
I'll be back.
It's her Madonna's erotica.
Yeah, but without the tunefulness, I think she's missing a tunefulness. Like I honestly don't think 5 seconds later you can pick that song out of your head, and I couldn't. I just kept saying that the whole time she
I'm
performed.
I'm totally into it. I love it.
I didn't see it,
but
I've been drinking. I've been drinking.
All I heard her say was faggoty, 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 and surfboard, surfboard, surfboard. That's what I took away from that song.
Faggoty, faggoty.
I don't know what she said, but that's and I didn't mean it. Like, I don't think she's anti-gay in any way, but to me, she said faggoty, faggoty, faggoty. I don't know what she really said, but
no, the whole CD is actually kind of gross. I mean, dirty and like Beyonce. Your mom's gonna listen to this.
Yeah, but now she's having hot sex.
In my humble opinion,
like pulling my panties to the side, that kind of bullshit.
Good.
I said, what?
Get it, girl.
Get it, Mrs. Carter.
Get those panties.
In my humble opinion, she writes one really good song, like "Lose My Breath," for every 5 songs,
I'm a Freakum Dress fan. I gotta be honest.
I love that song too because it's fun and stupid.
What's the song with the three girls about? I'm independent. I'm
independent woman.
I think that's it.
I don't know.
All the ladies making money.
No, she's like I'm a survivor. Like for every song that she writes,
I'm a survivor.
With 14, she writes a song
that
has really
about independent
great...
women. Independent women. No, yeah. She's definitely surviving. Survivor.
Surviving. But in my mind, she writes great songs like Lose Your Breath or Crazy in Love, and then she writes songs that you're like, there's no tune here. Like, listen to the okay. Bee Gees, please take a songwriting course.
So remind me what the question of
the question
vulgarity
is about
vulgar
coveting. Like in the thing about like Marcus Aurelius always talks about simplicity. Like he's the philosopher. Yeah, see, it's a simplicity. What is it you covet on a day to day basis? Like, what is it that you see day to day that you covet, Barbara?
I'm not a covetous person.
No, there's something. I'm not either, but there is something.
Because I'm thinking of something that's not like I already know, and it's not like a material thing. Like I'm not saying I want my neighbor's BMW, although I do. But I do want that.
Wow.
But that's not really. Like I'm all happy with my CRV.
Well then if you know, you start.
Yeah. So I covet and again, this is going to be ridiculous because I'm coming out of the little affair. But we learned a lot about different kinds of leadership styles, right? And so my leadership style is very – I'm called the counselor. And so it's – or the persuader. And it's very kind of spontaneous and casual and like not
like,
very –
like your diets.
Oh, my God. That's almost exactly.
Exactly like your diets, yes.
It is exactly like my diet. So, but not very – like very touchy-feely a little bit more than and more friendly, not so serious. And I really covet the ability of folks to be of people that are very direct.
Bitch, hang with me.
And yeah, like people that are direct and just say what they mean and get it done and are I don't know. Aggressive is not abrasive, but what's like the positive word for
I think
assertive. Like very assertive right. People. I'm just not an assertive person, and I covet that.
Which is
personality
funny,
trait.
Which is all that you're not.
Now, what show am I in with Katie June that she's not an assertive person?
I want to make my point, and right. You can chime in whenever you want to
answer that question.
The fact that you are. That you claim to not be assertive is sort of jocularity, to use a word from MASH from years
very
ago.
Father Mulcahy.
Thank you. You are very assertive, regardless if you think so or not, because just your general personality plows over people. Just plow, and you're assertive whether you want to be or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is your
is she passive aggressive?
No, I don't know. I don't think she's.
I didn't mean that bad way.
I don't think she's passive aggressive.
I think sometimes maybe I see that in myself, but
maybe. I mean, she gets shit done. So
if
being passive aggressive is what you want to call it, that's fine. Because if it's being passive aggressive to get something done in something that she's trying to get, you know, if she's producing something or with HRC or whoever it is she's doing, I get that. But I don't think you realize the innocence and the way that you are just in general as a person. I don't think you realize how overpowering that is. Mm. But because you are within this room, you got no choice. It's my show and he runs it. So you got nothing. You're here and you just fight for life is all you do with this. Yeah. But I don't think you realize how powerful you are.
I appreciate you saying that.
And I mean that with all sincerity. I don't think you realize
that. I think that's what my comment meant too.
You and Cienciola.
Yeah.
I think you and if you two were to take over a network, I think the world is fucked.
Because I appreciate you saying that.
Because I love Cienciola. Natalie Cienciola
She's one of my favorite people.
She has produced so many shows that I have been like Dancing with the Bars and so many other shows that I've been a part of where I'm out there in the front and she's behind the scenes, but she is responsible for making the entire event look good, not me, but I benefit from that.
Yeah.
Because that's her niche. But I think you are that way too. I think when it comes to getting things done and putting things in an order or making sure things happen. But I think with what Richard says, there's a passive aggressiveness to it, but people just buy into it.
But so, not with the negative connotation.
Not at all.
I would take away.
You make things happen in a way without being pushy the way I am.
Right.
No, but I agree because you're a pushy bitch.
And I admire. And I appreciate you all saying these things. And I admire so much.
And some of them are true.
I know. Pick and choose. But I just admire
3 out of 4 panelists surveyed.
People that can be very direct. And that's something that I struggle with, is just like laying it on the line.
But you are.
I wish I were more subtle at times.
That's it. I'm just.
Right. But I. Yeah.
So yeah. So there's like. But that's something that I have learned to covet.
I'm not wired that way. I literally don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I say to myself, you do. Shut up. I really don't.
You do. I don't know if you do because I've worked with you.
I guess
Clayton will be our truth teller in a number of ways.
I understand what you're saying because the funny thing is, I'm the first person to admit I have been wrong in stating things or saying things in the past in regards to events that you and I or may have been involved in. You do have a way of being subtle.
Well, you're not like a horrible bit tacky bitch. Like, you're tactful.
No, but that's almost kind. I'm saying very direct. You have your strength, and I realize that when you run something, and I realize you run it fully, and that's how you are, and I appreciate that. I used to not. And that's just being honest. I used to not, because that's you and I had our falling out in the early 90s in regards to that, because you were strong and I was strong, and we were just bam 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 butting heads around things. But I do realize that you as a performer. You control your situation, you control your environment, and that's what you are. But you saying that you want to be more subtle, I think you are, and you don't realize that you are. Because you say things in a certain way, and maybe it is passive aggressiveness, but you say things or you spin it in a way that you get what you want, but it lands softly on the victim.
That sounds like a passive aggressive nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, and I know you guys have worked together a lot as well.
Would you like another drink?
I think that my opinion of you is that you're very direct.
She is direct.
And you're very tactful. Like, it's when I've dealt with you, you get shit done.
My favorite thing of all time, my almost favorite thing of all time is Saturday Night Live, where Tina Fey and Amy Poehler asked why everybody got mad at Hillary Clinton because she's a little bit of a bitch. Everybody turned on her for Barack Obama. And the whole bitch is the new black. Bitches get things done. Yeah.
Right.
I don't apologize for it. But sometimes I realize that I hurt people's feelings and that people don't like me for it. That's the only thing that I wish I were more subtle.
Now I will just jump in there between your conversation from earlier.
Because like Celia Putty, everyone loves Celia Putty. Everyone thinks that Celia Putty is the nicest, sweetest person. And everyone thinks that I'm mean. But my shit works.
Boom!
Yeah.
Or whatever the word is.
What's wrong? Cattywampus.
Thank you.
I have a drink.
I will say that there's a time to talk things over and we can all discuss our feelings, and then sometimes we just gotta shit or get off the pot.
We gotta do this.
No, I agree.
And I honestly think that's the difference between, and I work in a women's profession.
That's why they have nuns teach school. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah. Jesus. That's why they've got nuns.
Because no
nuns get shit done.
Nuns shit get done.
Nuns are bitches.
And nuns do shit get done. Al.
And I just want to say that we could all sit around. And I went to a meeting last Thursday that was all about talking about our feelings. And I'm like, the war's over. Like, we lost.
Right.
So here's our terms of surrender. And that's all we can offer. And everybody was like, you're so optimistic. I'm like, no, bitches, we lost.
Yeah.
Like, this decision got made 3 weeks ago. So now we have to just offer up our terms. So if we offer up our terms and they stick to them, that's what we have to cling to, because we lost the battle. And we lost it so long ago, we weren't even invited to the war.
Right.
Like, we were sitting home playing with ourselves while they were fighting the battle and we lost. And but that's what I mean about the difference between subtlety and let's kumbaya, let's hold hands, let's lady it out. And I think, and I will say this, and it sounds sexist, but I don't mean it. But at a certain point with the female agenda, it has to stop being about someone's feelings, and someone has to be bitches the new black and say, this is how it's going. We're moving over there. And I think that's why Hillary lost last time. And I hope that
she was
lesson,
trying to be a little too kumbaya.
But I think the lesson comes into 2016, where she's going to take everything as a war zone and be like, won this, moving on, fuck you, going.
But I also, I don't know that it's a lady thing. I think it's a personality thing, and it's like leadership styles and personality, because Kelly is not a kumbaya person, and she's,
and I met her in person.
Oh,
for reals.
I heard about that.
But like at work, there's times when she talks to her coworkers, and she gets off the phone, and I'm like,
she talks to her coworkers occasionally,
and I'm like, you should probably call that person back and make nice. And she's like, no, they're not fucking doing their job. And there's no kumbaya happening with her at work, like, not. And she's the number one salesperson for her company,
right?
And that's why. Like, so I think that, I don't know that it's a lady thing. I think it's a personality thing.
No, but I think it's part of the, and this sounds sexist, and I really don't mean it that way, but like, I work in a women's profession.
Right.
I work in a predominantly female profession, and we spend a lot of time committing things and talking about things. And at the end of it, we're like, well, let's meet again next Thursday. And
nope,
and I
we're
just
done.
Like, at some point, someone has to say,
I think
we're
it has
plant
more
the flag
to do
here and move on.
I think it has more to do with the women that go into the nursing profession, or excuse me, the restaurateur
profession. No, I don't think there's anyone left that thinks I'm not a nurse.
Right. Okay. So they're not, and that's obviously super fabulous profession, but there's a difference between a woman that is a nurse and a woman that is a corporate executive.
Oh,
so
definitely.
It's not a lady.
And you know what the difference is? Because the women that go into a corporate professional are in a men's profession, and they learn how
killer
to
instincts.
That is, I think
plant
that is
the
true.
Flag. Yeah. And if you stay here in ladyland, you just keep talking everything over, and everyone's like, but if I say this is the way it is, someone's feelings are going to hurt. Yes, every situation has a hurt person's feelings. Let's move forward.
Somebody's going to live. Somebody's going to die. They'll get over it. Right. Both of them.
Right. Everyone
in their own way.
But we have to get to point B. So, I mean, I went to this meeting yesterday, and everyone was like, you didn't do any negotiating. I'm like, sweethearts, if you don't know the war ended, I can't help you. We could all sit here and talk about our feelings, but this decision already got made.
Right.
That's
so by executives who have penises.
Right.
So we're just going to take it.
Or really big clitorises also.
Either way.
Might look like a penis. Maybe,
and
maybe
I'm
not.
Sharing in the chat room the Bitch is the New Black video, because it is one of my favorite things.
Oh, I got to go watch it again.
And it should be required.
Hand to God is required viewing for the next election.
So I want to go to Clayton, though. What is something that you kind
covet.
Of going back to our question, something that you covet?
No, but Barbara, is there something from this conversation and how we've turned it around? It doesn't have to be something you want to do, but what is something that you see? Because he was the original asking.
I prefer you answer it.
I just want to know, is there something that you covet? And you may not, it may not be something you need to do, but is there something that you wish, oh, I wish I was more like that, or I wish
I had
that?
It gave me a little
that.
Idea.
Okay, thank you. The conversation always helps.
But I'm not sure I'm ready to share it yet. I'll let someone else.
Jesus Christ, Marcia's a pain in the ass.
We have 9 minutes.
All
just
right.
So you know, Babzilla, we have 9 minutes.
Carlton McKee, tell us your story.
The
wasn't ready for him to get your name wrong, were you?
No. Oh, I didn't give a shit. No.
I love you, Desperate.
I know who you are.
I love you, Desperate.
You're a
the
ball.
The worst kept secret in North America.
One of the girls that was on Facts of Life, Natalie or Tootie.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
She were either black or fat. Which
or
one were you?
Charlotte Ray. I'm not sure which. Girls! Girls!
But I like that when you look at me, you think you're either the old black or fat one. And you know what? You're still all three.
Well, fish don't fry in the kitchen.
Yeah. Beans don't burn on the grill.
I think one of the things that always comes back, and fortunately for me, and it's an age thing, that as I get older, I don't think I'm much older. A year, Barbara. By you, a year.
She gets no more passes on the question thing, by the way, bitch.
I think one of the things that, and this is not brain surgery. This is not science. It's just as any of us in our listening audience are the ships at sea. As you get older, you realize how things are going to work, and you realize how situations end up or the progression to get to the answer or the result. So you react differently, not as knee jerk, and you react with just a okay, that's where you want to go. So have you checked out this? I think I'm a little more methodical. Good. So I'm always I covet that control of I will hear you out and then I'm going to tell you where you're wrong.
Right.
Meaning, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like to get from A to B to C, you don't realize that there's going to be an A minus and a B plus that you've got to go through.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be these other steps. I realize that you want to lily pad this and go boing, 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 boing. And so many of the younger in our world.
But I have to follow up here. Are you covetous of their journey? Like that they still get to make those mistakes and you already know how the lily pads.
I'm not covetous of the journey. I unfortunately have to suffer through it in several.
So are you covetous of the ignorance of knowing the journey? Like covetous means is a jealousy thing. So I'm just trying to find the jealousy of it.
I'm not jealous of it. I'm not jealous of it at all.
Well, I wish
that I could just get them to Frogger right over
so
it.
So then you're more covetous of the older people that have already made the journey and are just sitting there enjoying their lives. Like, you wish that the people you knew...
Yeah.
I guess I would.
Because
I mean, what you covet is what you see every day. Like, who in your life... So the people that still have to make all the jumps, you pity them. That's not coveting them.
I think pity's a little dramatic of a word.
But compared to covet, you're certainly not coveting
their
lives.
No, not coveting them. No.
So
I see what they do. I realize to a point they have to learn on their own. However, when they come to me, I always hold that, here's how you get to where you need to go. Here's the shortcut.
Right. But what we're talking about was what is it that you see someone else doing? And it's on a daily basis. That's the Marcus Aurelius thing is of what is it in its most simplistic form? Like, what is it that you see on a day-to-day basis that makes you covetous? Like, what do you want that you see every day? Marcus Aurelius never did the covetous thing. It's just the simplest thing. Like, you have to just see it every day. The simplicity is the Marcus Aurelius.
The odd thing, when you say it again to me, for some reason, I wasn't catching on earlier. Learn grammar. Please. I see every day on Facebook people who don't know how to fucking type or realize what they're saying. Learn how to type. And we have one person in particular that you may understand who I'm talking about. Drives me fucking crazy.
Nothing to say.
If you're going to post something and you're going to try to spew intelligence.
Again, but that's not covetous.
No, like, I'm coveting the fact that you don't know how to fucking talk.
But that's not covetous. You have to be jealous of them.
Like, I'm just because they are stupid. I don't know. Yeah. How do I make this be my point?
Right. That is
a good point. I know what you're talking about.
This is not something about people that are less than you. This is something that you see every day that you wish you could have. Like, what is it that's out there that you see every day?
Well, what is yours?
Now you've hit it.
Right.
I don't know if it's a drink or a bell ringer or whatever it is. You know what it is? There's two people. There's two people that I covet every day.
Cattywampus is where she was.
Don't mention me in this.
You're not. Trust me, you're not. There are two people that I see on Facebook every day, and I don't mean this to be any... This is no disrespect because I adore both of them.
Right.
Abel.
I'm looking him up now.
Me too, actually.
Abel.
As a matter of fact.
And Nick. I think Abel's last name is Munoz, and Nick is Nick Walls.
Oh, there he is, from Dysart.
I don't know. They are such a stupidly happy married couple. They do what they want to do. They have their own lives. And the fact that they are...
Oh, yeah. I love Abel. Oh, yeah.
See? Exactly.
They're sweet boys.
I wish I could be in
Travis.
Their situation.
Travis,
No. Nick Wall. Look up Nick Walls. N-I-C-K Walls. W-A-L-L-S. Nick Walls. His Abel. Abel Munoz is a different one. And Travis. And they're lovely, too. But Abel and Nick are the two that I was like...
Got
all
it.
Right. So we're at the right point. We'll get to your follow-up question in a minute.
I think he covets their, like... relationship. Maybe,
I want to be there, right. But I can't be there.
So Barbara
Nick
Seville,
Walls. Nick Walls. Barbara.
I found him. Yeah.
You have 22 seconds. Just there's something that you see every day that you don't have that you want. It's not possible to not.
I wish I could
it's
get flashcards.
I always have fat kid syndrome.
Okay.
And so I. Always,
would you like to know why?
So I covet like
non-fat kids.
Conventional beauty.
Okay. Perfect example. Now, mine is my friend Justin, that no matter, like, one bad relationship into one good relationship, he's always photographed wearing the right fucking thing, and it drives me crazy because I have never worn the right fucking thing. Like, I'm always in the blue t-shirt with the ringer collar.
You wore a black,
black
one tonight.
T-shirt. Like, I, like, he's always, because it's faded and it's 10 years
and,
old.
And in the shot, we can't tell where the chair starts and you stop.
So.
You're welcome.
And I was really surprised at how long it took you guys to get to something simple. Like, it's just something simple. Like, what do you see every day? Every time you post a picture, I'm like, oh my God, I would have never worn something that perfect for that occasion because I don't have it. So
Nate Roten is like that. He always looks perfect.
Right. So that's something that you covet every day. Like, how can you look perfect every day? No. So, follow-up question. It's a one-word answer. No time to squander. Would you change anything to get what you covet? Yes or no, Barbara Seville?
No.
There you go.
Yes. Ooh.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yes, I would change.
See, mine is no. Like, that's why it frustrates me so much, because I look at the picture and I think, oh, I want to be that. But then I'm like, I look at me and I'm like, well, no, I kind of want to be that.
I think
like,
I'm
pretty much
actually,
content. Like, I don't want
to. I think if you don't love me like I am, I have to change
right.
That.
Okay, now what I would say from my point of view, and I don't mean to make about me, but Miss Seville took 19 minutes on the question, so...
I passed!
You did pass. I'm with you.
All right, so Clayton took 20 minutes. But my thing on the question, we'll go a couple seconds over, is that you might covet something, but it's not necessarily what you want. And I might want to do something better just if someone did something big. Like, if you had some great honor that it took dressing up, I would go to a store and buy something nice and be appropriate for the occasion.
Well, of course you would. Right. You own suits.
All right. So
you don't fit in them, but you own them.
Now we go to, we have 1 minute left.
No, hurry.
Right. Hurry. Barbara Seville, this question is fun, and maybe we'll get to it next week when Marcia's here. If someone says, you jump, I jump, do you have a friend that you would do that for?
Only one, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I do if it's you.
That's nice. That's nice to hear.
Because I trust him.
Right. And that, do you have someone that you trust that completely? And that's part of my covet story is if someone says, you jump, I jump, would you? And I do. I have to say yes.
Yeah. I trust you with my entertainment choices.
Exactly. So if I'm jumping into a movie, I know you're going to come with me.
There's that. All right, boys and girls, end of hour three. We have done it. We've completed 3 hours. It's the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McGill. I'm with Katie June, Barbara Seville, and Al Perkins. We've made it through another Tuesday night. We will leave you with this final thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Thank you.
You're listening to the show on Q Talk America.